I think he's going to be here, though.
Thank you.
I'm good. How are you doing?
So similar to what I do with business. It's in there. Yeah. There is my mind.
This is a special meeting of the City Council with the Planning Commission. Today is, I don't even know what date it is today.
15th.
The 15th. And it's now 2 o'clock, a little bit after 2. And we'll begin the session with roll call.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Here.
Councilmember Natoli?
Here.
Councilmember Rabinoff?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G?
Here.
Mayor Reese?
Here.
And for the Planning Commission, Commissioner Anderson?
Here.
Commissioner Burns?
Here.
Commissioner Ehring?
Here.
Commissioner Vardis?
Here.
And Chair Sorgenfrei?
Here.
Okay, now is the time for public comment. Is there anyone that would like to speak to the items on the agenda? Now is your chance for the public to speak. This will be your only opportunity to speak. Well, you know, we will see. This usually with a special meeting, this is the case. Maybe I will provide one more opportunity in maybe at the end of item 4 for the public to speak to anything we've talked about. Okay, with that, Mr. City Manager, is he here?
I am. Madam Mayor and House members and Planning Commissioners. What I'd like to do is go ahead and introduce, manage some introduction, Mr. Randy Bloom, our Community Development Director. And what Randy's going to do is to brief you on a number of projects that are in the process of moving forward that affect our downtown. Randy.
Thank you.
Can we turn on this?
Yeah.
A second.
Will you open it?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I wanted to start today with kind of an overview of where we've been the last couple of years as far as our general plan, our zoning ordinance, and our draft specific plan. Originally in our 1992 general plan, we had several designations downtown. We had the Central Community District, we had the mixed residential district, we had the residential serving commercial district, which is basically Price Street, and we had the open space district, and we had the mixed use district. Those designations, because of their smallness and isolationness in relationship to the mixed use, and because of our resident serving designation for Price Street, and Price Street going to a different, more of a restaurant row than a resident-serving district, a general plan amendment was put in place to enhance the mixed-use concept for downtown for livable communities, where you have commercial on the ground floor, residential on the upper floors, that creates a more livable environment in the downtown. And what occurs is it adds that extra ingredient to the downtown for pedestrian safety at night. People live in there. It helps crime. It also helps the live-work relationship where you don't need to commute. And so with that concept in mind and all the efforts by other cities in California trying to create a lively downtown and a more mixed feeling, the general plan was changed. The Coastal Commission certified this change to more utilize that concept. And so basically we kept the same core as this central commercial district and blended everything else into a mixed use. Now, with that, the policies were revised slightly to help that. Is it hot?
Yeah. We can come here.
back door, on that door there, and then hit the, I think the buttons.
Thank
we can
you.
Turn it up. It'll get a breeze coming in here. That's all right. Without, the policies were modernized, basically, and allowed for what we consider a mixed-use project, where the first floor is commercial, the second floor could be office space, and the third floor residential, or the two top floors residential. The old general plan had a policy in it where it said that for each parcel you could only have one residential unit, which that was counterproductive to a regular mixed-use environment. And so those policies were changed, and the council adopted that, and the Coastal Commission accepted that and certified that. Now, there may be some confusion, is that the zoning ordinance downtown... The zoning ordinance downtown is the 1983 zoning ordinance. The zoning ordinance wasn't changed. It was simply the general plan policies. And those zones have been in place since the adoption of the 83 ordinance. Now, the thing that has to be reminded all the time is there's policies in the general plan, for example, like height. Now, the 1983 zoning ordinance allows for a 43-foot height. However, the general plan identifies a 35-foot height from natural grade. And so when we review projects, we're reviewing them under the 1983 zoning ordinance. However, the general plan policies take overriding precedence, so the 35-foot takes precedence. So we review projects under the 1983 zoning ordinance with the policies of the general plan. And so that's how these projects are being reviewed. Also, the city council several years ago instructed the development of a downtown specific plan. And that specific plan envisioned a walkable, architectural, friendly core of the community. The Planning Commission reviewed that document, and when it went to council, for a number of reasons, that document was never adopted. However, the design and the policies in that specific plan were molded into the 1998 zoning ordinance. Also, staff and the Planning Commission, in reviewing projects, review with reference to those design policies. So the document wasn't really lost. It's being used as a reference at staff level, and is in a lot of it is in the 1998 zoning ordinance. So that's where that's kind of at. To go on to the next step is that the Planning Commission for several years had a architectural review committee. There was two members of the Planning Commission. Projects would come in. We would refer them to those two commissioners. They would give their comments. We would work up the staff report and have a public hearing in front of the Planning Commission. In reviewing projects, and we knew that there was changes going to occur to the downtown, we instituted a different process of a concept review. And that's what I want to kind of emphasize and look at today, is that projects that developers were contemplating, we would take it early on to the Planning Commission without the environmental, just identifying the issues that we thought each project had, have the whole Planning Commission look at it, give their comments, and then we take those comments back with the developer, discuss those comments, and then they can go forward and design their formal application. The benefit of this is early. It was an early exposure to a project to the Planning Commission, but the real benefit too is that all five commissioners now got to have input on architectural review and the policies. Let's say parking, height, architectural. It was a much better tool to use on projects coming into the downtown, and we've used that substantially on most of the major projects. And that's the key difference, is that we've enhanced our review process, and we're using a different adjective. So when people say, well, we're not doing architectural review, we actually are. We're doing actually more than architectural review. We're doing policy review, and we're doing ordinance review with this concept review. And so I think that's helped the development community get a rapid answer. Is either you got a good project or a bad project, or it's not going to fit, and you need to redesign. It helps in their due diligence time, and it allows the Planning Commission early input as to give direction on a overall look on projects coming in. So from that, I'm going to step over here and grab a portable mic and kind of go through some projects that we've been working on, and some will come to fruition and some won't. But I think it's important to understand that with the general plan change and the price of property going up so high, we're getting projects finally that are meaningful projects, that are important projects that we haven't seen in years. And so I want to step over here and kind of...
Madam Mayor, can I just ask you a question real quick?
Sure.
Just about the Coastal Commission and the overlay, I mean, where are we?
As far as...
As implementing the 1998.
This was about 6 months ago, or maybe 7 months ago. It's hard. Around that, we packaged the whole 98 zoning ordinance together with all the changes we thought and everything. We started with through the Planning Commission, and we had to, and what we did was we sent a notice out to every bluff owner in the community, which they all came to the Planning Commission. Were all upset that they were coming back and need to participate. We made a promise with those property owners that we would deal with that issue separately, and we work with them to address that project. We found ourselves in a full circle with the Coastal Commission, and we wanted to protect property rights, but we still wanted to provide the modern zoning ordinance. So at that point, we regrouped. And we're changing the 1983 zoning ordinance to mirror image the 98. The key difference is in the 1983 zoning ordinance, the issue of that you have to record a covenant that you can't protect your property if you have development on a bluff is not part of law. In the 98, if we adopt it, it would become part of law. And so we're slowly trying to make the 83 ordinance the mirror image of the 98, and then deal with that as a separate issue, and that's what we've been doing. So you've been seeing ordinances come through that are 1983 and 1998 and that type, and that's the reason for it.
So we're doing, instead of doing it all in, at one time,
we're doing it as pieces, little chapters at a time, and then we can marry those both the same. It's extremely difficult for a developer to come in and say, When do you think the 98 zoning ordinance is going to be adopted? We really can't answer that question. We can say, well, we're working towards it. So it's kind of like choose your own adventure. Do you choose developing to the 83, or do you choose to the 98? We're getting closer that they're the same, so the investment that a person makes will be guaranteed to be in compliance for the future. And most of the projects that are being developed fit.
Okay, so I think Bill's question was, have we submitted any of those to the Coastal Commission, any of those changes?
Oh, yes.
For downtown?
Not specifically downtown. No, we did the second dwelling unit ordinance. We've got a whole package of setbacks and those type issues that will come in front of the City Council this spring. We're dealing with the adult business ordinance. That's a double... The Planning Commission has looked at several chapters of the 83 ordinance, but it hasn't got to council yet.
Okay.
In the package. Does that help you?
Well, it's just taken forever. I mean,
it's
you know, I helped write that thing back in 98.
Well, I know.
You know, it's 2005.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's inconvenient, and it's a tremendous hardship on the staff, but even more than that, it's a tremendous hardship on the public when they're coming in and trying to get anything accomplished. And, you know, people are out there saying, you know, boy, if you're going to do business with Pismo Beach, you know, grab a hold of something, because you're going to go on a merry-go-round ride, you know, and that just, we're not getting any better. We're still, I believe, in conflict. So the faster we can get the resolution, get it all resolved, the better.
I think our efficiency is much better, and the Planning Commission's direction is much better. And I think a developer with this concept review knows where the Planning Commission stands, and it's either they'll have a comfort level walking out that their project will be successful, or they'll know that there's key points that they need to address or they'll never get through. And I think our efficiency and our directness is better now than it was before. But you're right, we still have two zoning ordinances, and until we get those together, it is two. But for example, a simple ordinance like the second dwelling unit ordinance, it's about a 9-month process to get through Planning Commission, City Council, go to the Coastal Commission, have it certified, they make changes, have it come back to Council. The Council makes accepts those decisions of Coastal, and then it goes back to Coastal for certification. It's not a short process. It's a really cumbersome process. We're really efficient outside the Coastal Zone, but it's a cumbersome process. That's all I can say.
Okay, thank you.
May I add one thing to that?
John, go ahead.
I think that part of the problem is not so much just the submittal of our what we want, it's what the Coastal Commission came back with. And that was the real conflict, because actually staff went to a great deal of effort to show us what we would be adopting if we adopted all the Coastal Commission's changes. And some of them didn't even make sense. Some of them actually contradicted one another. So the decision was, let's do this piecemeal. Let's do it as we go. And we'll update it, but still be able to keep with what we really wanted, what the public wanted. Because if you looked at that document, of course, what we would have to do just to sit it in, it's horrible.
Madam Mayor,
how else to put it?
Councilmember Ravenel.
Tough situation.
I'm sorry, John. I would concur. Basically, if we could get it done very quickly, if we were to capitulate to the demands of the Coastal Commission, and we feel that many of those are unfair, and many others are either unfair and or very ambiguous.
Good summary. Okay.
Let me go over here and.
Okay.
And I
can.
This is a project, and if I show you over here on the board, John, I'm going to shoot you right in the eye. This is the Wadsworth, Dolliver, Price Street property. It's presently vacant right now and has a chain link fence around it. We've used it for staging for our slurry seals for downtown for some time. Oh, is it okay? Oh, okay. It's a project that's on the corner of Price Street, Wadsworth, and Dolliver. It has a chain link fence around it and is presently vacant. The property has been on the market several times, and recently a developer came in and wanted to do a mixed-use project. This particular project has an interesting zoning. Is the frontage on Price Street is zoned commercial, and the back part is residential. It faces Dolliver, and this is Wadsworth right here. One of the first steps that we as staff started with is, number one, access to the property off the side streets. Number two, hide your parking behind your buildings. And number three, what's your product that you're going to have on Price Street, because you have commercial zoning. The developer came back with an initial design, and we took this to the Planning Commission, and the Planning Commission took a look at it, and this is a side loaded from the side streets. It has an internal almost like a European alley design, and with a frontage along Price Street and a frontage along Wadsworth that is completely hidden of all the cars and parking. It has good circulation and everything like that. The issue that the Planning Commission was asked is, the developer came in and said, these units right here, I'd like to have live-work units, where we have commercial on the bottom floor, and a residential on top where it's an internal staircase where a person could buy one of those units, live upstairs, and have their own business downstairs. The question that was asked to the Planning Commission is parking. Starting with parking is all residential units must provide on-site their required parking. A condo requires 2 parking stalls, no ups, no extras, and for every 4, they need to provide a guest parking. So the condo part had to provide parking for the condo project. The live work unit was a kind of a different issue. Is they asked the question, well, can we just count the commercial and not the residential? And so the question was, how do we make that work? The Planning Commission took a look at it and said, well, we would look at it on an individual basis. And so the Planning Commission adopted a policy that they didn't want to say, oh, by the way, don't count the commercial. Let's look at each individual project to see how the relationship works. You know, a little project may not have the extra parking that could be shared. A larger project may. And so that was the comment back to the developer. The Planning Commission liked the design of the streetscape and everything. And let me explain one other thing is, most of these projects that are coming in are basically 3 stories under the 35-foot. There's parking on the ground and there's 2 floors of residential. And so the developer took that back and analyzed it, and we got a letter last week saying that they're going to look at another project in another area. So they're not going to go ahead with this. But the Planning Commission gave them good direction, and it was a good early indication that, yes, we'll look at this issue. We like this, and we like the internal layout because it's nice and safe, and it protects Dolliver and it protects Price Street from circulation, except that I suspect that they may have wanted to get more units on that than what they are, and so they've moved on. But we'll get another project, and we'll use some of the same concepts that we wanted with this one on the next one of the access and the parking. So we keep these as a reference, saying the Planning Commission liked this, but these are the issues that we had discussed. And so I think that helps even
Before you move that, though, Randy, you see, I had a couple of more problems with that, but it didn't go that far in depth with the Planning Commission, I guess, is what I'm hearing you say. I had problems, as an example, with a fire truck coming in there and then being able to make turns to come in there. That wasn't adequate. I had questions about there's supposed to be a fountain or something right out there at that end right there. Is the public going to have access walking through there to go over to the businesses?
Right.
So, I mean, there were a lot of those types of things that I think really impacted that project as well. But I'm just trying to understand now what you're saying from a Planning Commission standpoint, that it just didn't go to that degree.
No. What we identified was the issues that needed to be designed to. And
It was also, in my estimation,
parking places short.
They tried to tell me they were 7 short, and I thought that they were 15 short.
I thought they said 7.
Well, that's what they said.
That's what they said, but I didn't agree with that.
It was quite a few.
So for the Planning Commission to go on an individual basis and saying this is, you know, we'll take a look at that individually for this project, the design, even though they decided not to do it, they were short parking places. See, they were counting in lieu.
That's correct. They could have.
They weren't.
Right.
Counting in lieu.
Yeah.
I counted in lieu. So I don't want any in lieu in the downtown core like that at all. You're either going to provide parking, you're not going to move in. Period. You take it all. You start multiplying up projects that want to come in and start using in lieu, unless we're going to do something like build a parking structure or we're going to do something, all of a sudden this accumulated effect of in lieu leaves us with a tremendous shortage of parking in that downtown core.
And we'll probably be talking about parking today, will we?
We'll move into it, but I think
money's not the answer.
Pardon?
Money is not the answer. Parking places are the answer.
I think the Planning Commission is very aware of that.
The Planning Commission is aware of it, and the role of the Planning Commission is to interpret the zoning ordinance and work directly with the developer, and that's what they've been doing. They may have a different independent opinion than yourself, but that's what their charge is to implement that zoning ordinance and those policies in place. And so their collective judgment through a public hearing process is part of our general plan and zoning ordinance process.
I'd like to make comments.
Yes.
Seems to me that when you consider parking defines.
I don't know how to turn these on. These are fancy. I have a little button there.
When you consider all the various parking problems that we have in the central core, or not the central core, but the downtown area, and this in lieu of problem, one of the things that you begin to find is that the fees that they pay in lieu of are not sufficient to provide an actual parking space. And
I think that's the biggest problem
that we have in our parking thing. I mean, if it costs $30,000 for each parking space underground, then that's the kind of money we ought to be thinking of in terms of in lieu of.
I think the council is aware of that, and I think that's one of the things by the time we get to the end of this session we're going to have to look at.
I was going to have a discussion on parking after this, so I'll come back to that. Let me go to the next one. This project is the what we call the Cypress Landing, and it's the back half of the Cypress Landing. It's a vacant lot on the corner of Dolliver and Stimson. It's the vacant lot across the street on Hines and Cypress. For example, in looking at this, this is Cypress Landing. This is the existing small brick building that's on the corner. This particular project encompasses this vacant lot, which is a proposed three-story building. It's retail on the ground floor, office on the second, condos on the third. This is the same thing over here on the corner. In the center off of Stimson is a parking garage that you pull in and it meanders up. And this is a separate parking lot off of Hine Street. This particular project, this is Cypress Landing looking on Hine Street, and this is the little brick building, and this is the piece of the property.
Building? I can't picture this at all.
I can't either.
It's on the corner of Cypress and Hines. It's the furniture store. There's a little.
Ulala or something. Oh, okay.
It's a little brick building.
Okay. The old sporting goods store.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's called Ulala or something.
This is that building right here. And then Cypress Landing, if you're driving down Hines.
Down Hines, okay.
This is the parking lot of Cypress right now. They plan on building over the parking lot. And this is across Cypress, and this is the building that's on the vacant lot that they propose. On that.
Okay.
Now they propose taking all their parking and concentrating it into a structure on the property. Now this particular project, all the space of that is all three floors.
Tell me where you are now. I'm sorry, I got lost.
This is basically the parking lot for Cypress Landing.
Okay,
right.
Got it.
As it is today.
Okay.
There's going to be two floors on top of that.
They'll keep the existing parking. They're just going to have two floors above it.
They're going to remove the parking lot and build a parking structure right here on this part of the parking lot. And on the top floor will be condos. On this part of the parking lot, they're going to be building on top offices and condos on top of it.
So there'll be no parking at the last
floor? There'll be a surface lot right here. The second floor will be office. The third floor will be condos.
Is that meeting the 35-foot?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All these projects meet the 35-foot. Okay. The Planning Commission had a quick look at this. It's been kind of on the back burner. and the reason is that there'd like to be some movement on the Wadsworth property before they start on this. And so we've been kind of sitting on it. There's not an official application.
Wadsworth doesn't intersect down there anywhere.
No, I'm sorry. This previous project, the same property owner owns both
same
properties.
Owner.
I'm sorry.
Everett.
And so they've been waiting for development on this.
Now, Mr. Bloom, on that, when they're adding those two stories,
right?
How many more vehicles is that going to bring to that parking?
It'll be the relationship of the zoning ordinance requirement for office space, the zoning requirement for condos. They have to provide the parking as to
okay.
the zoning ordinance.
And that will still take into consideration the Cypress stores in front?
Yes. They have to take care of this parking because they're displacing this parking that was
okay.
provided. So the project has to provide what was required for here.
And there.
And okay. there. On that.
No in lieu?
At this point, we don't know. I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
There is a logistic problem with the design of the firewall on this side that they need to move in a little bit. And they're taking a look at that. And they've been looking at that for about 3 or 4 months.
So you were able to establish some of these things at the conceptual level? Or
absolutely.
Is that the point you're making?
What the concept level is, we try to identify the major issues that they need to address right up front. If it's parking or if it's design or if it's circulation, we identify those issues right up front. That gives the applicant an idea of the real important issues that you can't fudge on or whatever you want to do or design around. You know that if you follow these three things or these five things, then you've addressed those major concerns that the Planning Commission's had. And so that's how we've been operating. And it provides a good guidance. It doesn't get down to the complete minute detail that will come in with the final design on the public hearing.
Okay, but this is done on Planning Commission nights usually? And
yes.
Do they go
yes.
to the site?
It's an agenda item, yeah.
And they go to the site?
We've done three different things. On concepts, we've put up story polls. We've had neighborhood meetings, and then we've came back to the Planning Commission meeting and had the final discussion on it. We've done a combination of various things on that.
Okay, so this one's not going to go forward until something's done with the Wadsworth property?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mayor, may I add one?
But there's also another, there's another aspect that I don't know how the Planning Commission can even function without this being taken into consideration, and that is, we have no idea what we still want Pismo Beach to grow up to be. And what all that this is doing is opening the door for a bunch of hodgepodge. It's allowing that style and that type of development that you put over there to come up. It allows this style and this architect's idea of what the thing is going to come up and look like. And we have not figured out what we want to be or where we want to go. And I think that it's very important that we get to that level of planning in conjunction with the Planning Commission so we can make better decisions on these things, particularly from an architectural standpoint, from articulation, from all of these different aspects. And we're not doing it.
Well,
these buildings aren't going to go away in 10 years. These buildings are going to be here 100 years.
I don't think we have a theme. I don't think we want a theme. I think our theme is an eclectic mix of pedestrian-friendly buildings and the highest quality buildings that we can get. And I think that's what this process gets us. Each time we do this, we've done concepts. We've had them. We've given them our comments. They've went back. They've asked for another concept review, and we come back. And each time, the quality rises in that. And I personally don't think we're a solving. I don't think we want that. I think we want individuality.
No, we don't want that. But when you're talking about the pedestrian access, you know, there are other aspects of that town that still need to look at and be considered. And quite frankly, that's some of the things I thought that we were going to be going over today. You know, as an example, long term, what do we want the thing to look like? I mean, everybody knows that I have some major ideas, but of course, I'm only one vote on their example of closing down the 100 and 200 blocks of Pomeroy and those types of things. You see, until we get to that point where we're someplace, I don't know how we can do all of this stuff.
Bill, I agree with you totally, and this was some of my concern, is that, you know, have we decided what we want to look like? But I think we have to look at, we have to kind of take these steps and look at what's in the mill right now. Is it abiding by what the zoning code, et cetera, says? And then maybe today, if we want to go a different direction, we have to talk about that. I'm not sure that the council ever decided that they wanted a theme.
And I'm not talking about a theme. I'm talking about a vision 20 years from today. You know, what are we going to work towards? That's all I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. So we don't have a specific plan that says Pomeroy is going to be mall.
I think this is his concern.
That's what he wanted.
We have a general plan policy that was pulled out of that specific plan that we want a pedestrian-friendly core. And so that's what we're trying to bring those masses down on these buildings, so when you're walking down the street,
you're
not walking against a three-story blank wall that's like a canyon. I think probably the Bailey Building is a good example of kind of what we want, in that when you're walking down the street, the first floor, the mansards that come out give you this pedestrian-friendly atmosphere, versus if you walk on the Pomeroy side of Casabella, let's say. That has a different feeling.
Yeah.
That's not the feeling that we want right in the core. We want more of when a pedestrian is walking by, there's a sense of space that they feel comfortable with. And that's what that's the atmosphere that we're looking
for. John, I think you wanted to say something.
I was just going to relate back to the purpose of the conceptual review. One thing that's of value to us as well as to the public is that it isn't a public meeting. So what happens is the developer not only hears from the Planning Commission, but they get to hear from the neighbors. Mm-hmm. And that's real helpful, too, because there's been times when the developer's been here and been able to hear the concerns of the neighbor before they go very far with the project. And sometimes there's minor compromises that
get made right up front,
mm-hmm. that they can do now in a blueprint stage, as opposed to getting it where they bring it in final form. And I think that's really what this all is about. It's just trying to get a concept. I mean, as far as the, you know, how many parking spaces and all that comes when the project actually comes before us. But this is really kind of more of an informal idea to say, you know, this and this and this is going to have to happen, or this will never fly, or we would like to see more of this. And then that gives the developer a chance to do something prior to expending a lot of effort and money.
Okay.
As far as the guidelines, though, and what Bill was talking about, I mean, we have guidelines. I mean, the Planning Commission is charged with making sure that all the zoning rules and everything else are carried out, which includes in lieu fees until you change that. So our guidelines are what's written down for us that you've approved. So if we're going to do something different, then Planning Commission has to be instructed to that. Because, I mean, just all of a sudden eliminating in lieu fees, you're going to have to change that. Because, I mean, that's what a developer sees. They look down and say, okay, this is what I can do to build this project. Till the rules change, they're going to keep proposing that.
But I think that's why I'm so frustrated, is because some rules need to be changed in order to make that happen. These in lieu fees got to go to a minimum of $24,000. Minimum.
Okay, can we wait?
Excuse me, and then I'll be quiet. But, see, I don't think that you have enough guidance from council with reference to the future, because you're exactly right. You have to do what's in front of you now. And we start putting in some of these major projects in the downtown core, and it's over with. It's kind of like Park Street down here. You know, when we started allowing people to not go with their setbacks and everything, that completely shot our ability to widen that street and put in the undergrounding of utilities and things that we needed to do. Well, we do the same thing here. We start putting these massive structures in the downtown core, and then all of a sudden we're not at a place where we can fix anymore. So those are my only concerns. As far as this procedure and what you're saying about you're going through to give guidance early on, you're absolutely right on. I have no problem with that.
Okay, and I hear what you're saying, and I think this is, was one of the purposes of doing this today, so that we can see conceptually what is starting to happen. Are we happy with that? And then do we need to have some further discussion to make any changes? Shelley, I think you had something.
Question.
Sure.
Thanks. You mentioned a downtown specific plan, but you said it was never adopted.
That's correct.
But you pick pieces out, and I'm wondering, how do you decide which pieces you can pick out and use that are agreeable? Or
well, each project has a different feature, and we look to the whole specific plan and rely on that, some of those design guidelines that fit this particular project. But we do reference it. We look at it all the time at a staff level on that part.
And how come it was never adopted?
I knew that question was going to come up. So why did we not adopt it?
I'm not sure. I'll be honest with you.
I'm not sure either, and I was there.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you.
Dennis knows.
Wouldn't that have helped?
Mr. Delzine knows. I think so, too.
Erica.
Yeah.
It was tabled by the City Council June 20th, 1995.
Oh, I guess I wasn't there.
It was before our time.
I started about 3 weeks after that.
Okay, but then I think we reviewed it later on and still did not get to a point where we adopted it.
When it was tabled, it was tabled with no specific date to bring it back. And I think the idea was probably what actually carried through was let's incorporate the features of the proposed specific plan for the downtown and incorporate it into the zoning code.
Okay, because I think that's really important that we have a specific plan, because I think we all have to agree that is what downtown should look like.
If we don't
know what's in that specific plan that you're using as a guideline, and some of the new people may not, and maybe some of the older people want to say, ooh, I don't know if I like that anymore,
before we
get too much further.
It was tabled in its final draft form.
Okay.
It was prepared by staff. Was not prepared by a consultant at that time. So it's still here in the file somewhere.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Madam Mayor, quickly, hear from a number of people that I work with in the downtown area who are being very insistent that we adopt a specific plan.
I'm hearing that too.
And I would also like to point out that we do function on a basic premise of development, and that is these courtyard-type developments. In other words, as opposed to Casabella, we're really looking for projects, Mr. Benson's project, Mr. Evans' project, that are broken up into courtyards that are very pedestrian-friendly. So while we don't have a specific motif, per se, we do have a basic premise we're working from.
That's a basic premise, which I think fits into what we all want. Mm-hmm. But maybe we need to take another look.
Just to add to that, the basic of breaking up into separate courtyards, one of the issues that's come up in the past with some of these projects is trying to break away from a monolithic, large, single building.
Right.
And so to break it up, and so that you have a view corridor in the middle of some type, some measure to break it up so it's not one single big, large entity.
Yeah, thank you. I think I'm seeing that in one of the new buildings in SLO. Mm-hmm. It's very monolithic.
If I might add one more thing, Madam Mayor, there's also some talk about perhaps raising the height limit back up to 43 feet, and with the, if that's what we and subsequently you choose to do, with the courtyard appearance, with the broken up pedestrian-friendly ground floor, it would be much more palatable and much easier to keep the character of our beach town.
Why? Being taller? I guess I don't understand. Why taller is better?
I didn't say tolerant.
Taller.
Height increase.
I said there is some talk of it. Yeah. And if that were to be the case, if it's broken up into courtyards, it's going to help alleviate that.
If we were to do that.
Yes, yeah. if we were to raise the height limit, we could do so as long as we're barely using the courtyards.
Could I talk to that issue?
Please. Ted.
I'd like to.
And then
like
Shelley.
Okay, I'm sorry. You want to go first? The 35 feet, as I understand it, was imposed on us by the Coastal Commission.
That's correct.
In this 1983 general plan or plan.
In our 1992 general plan.
Yeah, 1992 general plan. And I think the Coastal Commission today has an entirely different attitude towards height.
And I think one of the things that we certainly want to consider, and I mean the developers are the ones that can tell us this, the high cost of dirt in a city tells them how high they can go to make a project economical. And in order to provide the parking that's necessary for that type of structure, they basically have to go underground. And if they go underground, it's very costly, and they have to have a number of units built on that piece of ground so that they can provide that parking. Mm-hmm. So it's a question that maybe in the proximity of certain portions of this city, we need to have a height limitation that might be considerably more than what any of us are considering. And I think that the developers and the people who build, I'm going to say use a 16-story building, know more about this than we do right now. And I think it's one of the things that we definitely have to consider.
Well, and I think, you know, that's why we're kind of going through this process to take a look at what we're doing now and do we need to make any changes. Shelley?
Well, I'd like to make a suggestion maybe after the budget. We get past the budget, then maybe we start looking at bringing that issue back with a downtown-specific plan.
I think Mary Ann's already done that. I mean, she's asked for a couple of separate meetings. She wanted to remember one big meeting, which really was the downtown core, and then I interjected the part about the parking and maybe separating it. But that's all
this
components.
This is kind of the start, I think, to
right,
say,
that's
okay,
correct.
Maybe when we get toward the end of the meeting, we say, okay, is there some things we want to hone in on? Do we want to go to a specific plan? Do we want to look at heights? Do we want to look at more pedestrian-friendly, this kind of thing? That was my concern, that maybe we're getting too far along with some of the projects and the council's all of a sudden going to go, uh-oh, mm-hmm. Where are we?
Or if we ever see them. I mean, unless we go to every single Planning Commission meeting, council doesn't really know.
Well, if Planning Commission knows what the council wants, mm-hmm. then they're going to be all right. And even if we don't see them.
Well, yeah, but Mr. Sorgenfrey already addressed that. He says we have specific guidelines and this is what we approve or deny.
And
it is not
what we're doing now. We're in the process of working to change this.
It is not a 20-year projection of what and we could be as a community. So it's my only argument.
Well, a specific plan would be that 20-year look.
Yes, it would.
Okay. So maybe Shelley is right. That's where we're going to end up at the end of this meeting. But let's get through this process.
Let me add one thing is that our general plan is our 20-year vision. Our general plan, compared to other cities, has more specific language in it than a lot of general plans. And so there's
So it's more like a specific plan, is that what you're saying?
It's closing towards a specific plan more than a general plan, I'll be honest with you, because there's a lot of policies in there that really talk to design and what you can do, more so than a lot of general plans.
Does the Planning Commission agree with that? I mean, do they...
Well, yeah, I mean, I even with my comments, what I'm saying is, I mean, there's enough things in place right now that I feel comfortable as a planning commissioner to make decisions. But if there are specific things that the council wants, you know, relative to no more in-lieu parking is a good example, and that's a pretty strict one.
And that's what we have to talk about.
That's never going to get done as long as the zoning rules let people have in-lieu parking. And it's really unfair to a developer to tell them that, well, that thing's been changed, even though we say this in Arizona, it's changed, now you need to pay, you can't do in-lieu parking. I mean, that's an example, but and I would agree with Councilman Higginbotham in that that we've already got it written, why not take a look at it and see where we go from there? I mean, we're already using it, it sounds like. I mean, staff's using it, so it may be that all this information just needs to be refreshed by everybody, and we may be comfortable with where we're going.
Yeah, I would have to just comment that I think the general plan is our long-term vision. And, you know, the Planning Commission, we use that in the zoning code for reviewing projects. But if you look at the general plan and open it up, there's not a big diagram or big visual diagram that
you can't see it.
As
yeah.
an illustration what the downtown will look like in 20 years. We don't have that tool.
Yeah.
I've asked for it, but mm-hmm. I've been asked to wait.
Right. We're starting here. We're going to start here.
Well, I think the reality is, though, as much as we can plan it, economics are going to dictate, too.
Right.
We might want it to look like this, but if somebody's not going to build it, then it's moot to design it. So it's got there's a happy medium somewhere in between there.
And we don't have the luxury of a redevelopment agency that where we can, you know,
that's correct.
Try to help our vision along. So
that's correct. Let me go to another project. This is a hotel. This is the old part of the old Clam Digger property, and it's the piece of property at the end of Stimson, on the adjacent to the boardwalk. For example, we tried for several. I mean, the applicant has tried for a couple years to try to incorporate both pieces of property. They also own this piece. This is Heinz over here to make one complex. And about 4 years ago, I think the planning commissioner, 5 years ago, the planning commission saw a concept of that whole piece of property. Since then, the applicant has been able to pick up this piece and is trying to develop a 70-unit, roughly around 70-unit hotel on the property. It's complete subterranean parking. Some of the issues was the extra employee parking. They had located a parcel over here. You can see kind of where the parking stalls are for overflow parking. The developer took a look at it, and it was almost like you can't get here from there. Let's say a person pulled in and they need to park. Is that in the height of summer, to get to that Heinz lot that is right across the street from the exit parking of the city parking lot, you'd have to go up Stimson, all the way to Dolliver, come all the way down Pomeroy, go through the parking lot, and hit the parking lot. Well, that's a ways away. So the developer, since then, has taken a look at the original excavation for the underground parking was about right here. Now they're taking a look at coming all the way and having all their parking underneath. And been able to self-park up to about 80%, and the extra 20% would be delay parking. And so we're working through that. One of the key parts of when this, it went to the Planning Commission, I think, a couple years ago, is that we wanted pedestrian connection to the promenade so you could flow through here, you could flow down here. We wanted an articulated building that had more open space in it instead of just a square box. And so there you see more of an L-shaped. Since then, the applicant is looking at, when they're revisiting the underground parking, they found out that if they flipped this and had the shorter L over here, brought this part over here and had the same articulation, they got a better view. And for view consideration, the project is probably going to flip. But the concept is a upscale around a 70 unit.
Okay, where's
hotel.
The boardwalk?
The boardwalk is right here in
right
front.
Right there. Okay.
Right there. And our key part is for them to connect, where you can be walking along the boardwalk, walk right through, and walk into the complex.
Okay.
And if you're staying there, you can walk on and go through.
Okay. So is the sandcastle?
The sandcastle
right
is right here.
Right there. Okay.
It's right there. And here's the turnaround. And here's our fable restroom location that we had. So anyway, to give you...
It didn't appear again.
It's gone. Open. It's not gone. Okay. It's sitting in Mayor Harrington.
Is this a view of it right here?
This is a view of it. Trying to get some articulation, trying to get some different aspects in it so it's not just a square, you know, monolith building. And so that's some of the stuff that we're working with. But these come in and we give them our issues, we give them some guidance, and then they go back home and they take a look at it.
At what point in the process are they, out of curiosity?
We met with them a week and a half ago on their flip design. They're going to put a presentation together like this, and we're going to take it back to the Planning Commission for a concept. It's been dormant for a while because they're trying to purchase this. And they finally came to the conclusion that they can't.
They can't.
right now. So, but one thing is the underground parking is designed that you come in off here, you go down to subterranean. You could go out if this was ever required. You could connect. It's designed that when you drop down in that subterranean, you go directly against a block wall in the parking lot. It could be continued. Should in the future. So we look at those things too, as far as, you know, what's in the future. But that's been a long discussion with both property owners for quite a while.
Any questions?
And that's really why it hasn't gone anywhere.
Okay, does anybody have any questions or comments? Okay, thank you.
Let me go to the next one. And this one is going to be an interesting one because it gets into the holding capacity. This piece of property is, this piece right here, and this is Irelees Park. This is Park Street. Park Street dead ends against the freeway. The applicant wanted to put in a hotel, and what occurred immediately is that Park Street is a substandard street. Park Street is half improved. It butts up against the freeway. That the freeway is elevated at that point. Mm-hmm. There's not enough room really for a cul-de-sac. It's got access problems during the summertime to get out for a left turn out of that street. And on top of it, a lot of the people that stay in some of the hotels have RVs, trailers with dune buggies and stuff on them and everything. And so it created a challenge. And not only is how do you park it, but what do you do with the street? Because the zoning ordinance and the general plan allows more than what physically can put on the ground. So how the process worked is we had a story pole put up to show the height of the structures. And basically it's the same thing as parking on the first floor, half subterranean, and two floors of units. The process we went through is we notified the neighborhood, we had story poles put up, we had the planning commission meet with the neighborhood to walk the site and get a physical look at how congestion on the street would be, how the site is. We came back to the planning commission that night, had a formal meeting, discussed all the aspects. And what came out of that meeting was a couple things is, the question is what is the holding capacity of that unique little neighborhood? It's one block. It's dead end. Do we give all the density to the first guy coming in, or do we share it across the board? And so after discussion with the planning commission, it was decided that we hire a transportation planning group to do a traffic study and then possibly a land holding study. So we staff initiated that study. The study came in rather quickly, and it basically identified in the wintertime you can make a left turn. Everybody knows that. In the summertime, you can't. And it said that the level of service would not drop based on the street design ultimate. But the immediate problem is the street isn't developed. And so what really came out of this study was, number one is, without a cul-de-sac at the end, the developer needs to design a turnaround for police and fire on site. Each project that comes in is going to have a turnaround. Mm-hmm. That the fire department come in, turn around on the site, and come back out. That was the first criteria. The second criteria was that came out of it was that this, because the street's in improved and there's a lot of traffic, is that parking should be based on a condo standards of two parking stalls per unit plus one guest stall per every four units. But on top of that, they should look at some form of extra parking relating to large trucks, the trailers, and everything. Yeah. And so the last planning commission, the planning commission instructed staff to check with other cities to see what kind of standard is out there to require the extra, quote-unquote, storage area. And so that's what we're doing right now. That gave the developer an idea of where he's going. He's got to provide all his parking. He's got to provide a turnaround, and he's got to provide some extra. And we're going to tell him kind of a standard that'll be the extra he has to provide. But that extra standard is going to be unique to Park Street because of the uniqueness of that. And so that's what we're developing. The bottom line is, his surface area, once he figures out his parking, will dictate his density up above. And so we don't really need to worry about who comes first gets the whole density. We know he can't develop to his general plan and zoning density, so the parking is going to dictate what his yield of his property is. And so that's where we're at on that.
Where is the creek? Is that the creek right at the bottom?
The creek is right here.
So what he would be turning around, the turnaround would be right at the creek?
No, it'd be at the entrance. Because the, for example, you pull in here and you're parking underneath here and it comes out. He's going to have to design where the apartment comes in, gets to be within 150 feet of this, and then backs out. Fire department can also use this as emergency access and pedestrian in on this area. This particular project, we get a dedication for the creek, and we get to extend our trail because we have an existing trail right here. We have nothing right here, and then we have the park trail. And with that development, we get a piece of that Pismo Creek Trail. And so that's another issue that we are dealing with.
If my memory serves me correctly, too, weren't the neighbors concerned about the height?
Yes.
Is the developer
going to
revisit that?
He's going to revisit that. Pardon?
How tall is it?
35, yeah.
There were certain architectural considerations that are allowed to exceed 35 feet, and we felt that, like elevator shafts, doorways, we felt that some of those might look like they were being usable as opposed to either ornamental or functional.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of where we're at, and that's and this process was a little bit more expanded than a lot of them because of we had to look at not only the project, but we had to look at the holding capacity of the neighborhood.
Gotcha.
Because it was a unique neighborhood, and so we're working through
that's
that.
That's part of our traffic study, was going there to park for the visit.
I bet it was. So the site visits are real important.
That made the most crucial traffic study right there.
How much did it cost you to find out that you can turn left on the winter and not in the summer? How much did that little traffic study cost?
$3,000.
Did we pay for it?
Yes, because it was a neighborhood issue.
Gotcha.
And we want to use that as a standard for all the other developments.
Gotcha.
I wish you'd called me. I'd have charged you half the price.
Well, I think John would have done it free.
That would have cleaned up 3, 4.
Let me turn this one to the side. This one, I think, a lot of people have seen it several times. This is the Benson project.
It's right here at the next to the pier between Pomeroy and Hines. This particular project went to the Planning Commission for concept review a couple times. It went to a public hearing in front of the Planning Commission. At that Planning Commission, and let me start with this. Let me start with the ground floor, and what I mean in the ground floor, it's half subterranean, half exposed. The original plan that the last Planning Commission that went had retail on the ground floor and had parking. The second floor was a series of independent. This is a single-story building. This is Cypress Street. This is Pomeroy. This is Hines Street. This is the pier parking lot. The design is to have a subterranean parking lot and then have individual buildings sitting on top of the parking lot with an open plaza in between. So when you're looking at Cypress, this building is a single story. This is a single story. This part of the building is single story. So your Cypress Street frontage is basically a single story with openings into a large courtyard and a view corridor going straight out through the pier. This part is a two-story, and this is all singles. This is all shops, and there's condos on top of this. Now, looking out towards
three-story?
It's more like 2.5, 2 3/4. It's not as tall as the other ones, mainly because the property drops about 6, 7, or 8 feet from Cypress to the Pier parking lot. So the subterranean garage is subterranean at Cypress, but it's half exposed to the pier lot, where you can walk right out to the pier lot. Then there's condos on top of this area right here, and it faces the ocean at that part.
And is this those buildings right there? Show me which.
This is the view out towards the pier. This is the Cypress frontage, where you can see that it's in dark, where the single story, and then the condos loom past that in this area. So when you're looking through here, you can look all the way through here. When you're walking along in through here, this is all single story. This is two story. So it gives you a mixture of feeling in that. Mm-hmm. And so one of the key parts of this is you can walk from Pomeroy through here. You can walk from the pier lot through. You can cross through that whole project. It's not one solid building, that's what the specific plan and the general plan talks about, a pedestrian active area for the core. The Planning Commission looked at it, and was in favor of the basic design, felt that it met all the goals and everything, but it had an issue with the parking of how many in-lieu fees that would need to be paid. And so what they did is they instructed the applicant to take a look at it and see what they could do with the design. And so the applicant and staff has been working. And what the results is actually a pretty good result, I think, and a better design, is that the original design was you were going to come in into the subterranean parking mid-block, just past, and this is Shelley's restaurant, and you're going to come in and you're going to drop down because of the disparity of the street. And there was retail down here in this area. Well, in looking at it, the applicant decided to remove all the retail, about 6,000 square feet or so, down on the subterranean area, and move the driveway porch closer to here, which helped the disparity. Now you only need to it's about a 16-inch drop versus a 6 or 7 foot drop up here. What it did create was a separate area for the condo parking, and when you pull in, a two-way travel where you can make a decision to go up this aisle, go up this aisle, go through this. The circulation was much better on this design, and it goes straight out to Hines and
okay,
goes.
Okay, and where are you coming in from? What street?
This is Pomeroy.
Pomeroy.
It's designed as you could go in and out either way. If, for example, in the future, the city changed the flow of the whole circuit.
The circulation pattern, that's kind of what is a concern.
Right.
These are going in.
Can we change it
if we wanted to then?
You could change this to the entrance and have this to the exit. One good thing is when you pull in, either way, let's say, you got the exit right in line with you, and you've got decisions, and you've got a free, clear area to see if the parking lot is full. This project is not near the density that some of these other projects that we've reviewed. And where we're at in the process is we're targeting the first Planning Commission meeting in March for the Planning Commission to take a look at this at a public hearing. And this has been in the process for quite a while, but I wanted to show you this because I know this is in front of you. Now, we've got other projects that we've talked to. If you look over here, the Planning Commission has taken a look at where Scrambles is, that complex several times. We've looked at that, and that'll come back in the future. We've looked at the Beach Burger site, which is a corner of Pomeroy and Dolliver, a concept design of first floor commercial condos up above. We're going to Planning Commission for a second story addition to Splash Cafe. That's coming up. There's several projects.
Are they all 35 feet?
Yes, all of them are 35 feet.
Okay.
Now, and Commissioner Burns did bring up one thing. The general plan and the zoning ordinance allows for appurtenances. For example, like allows for an exception to go up a percentage for like an entry feature or a domed skylight or an entry. But the basic ridgeline of all these developments are at 35 feet, and they've been designing to that. So,
Randy?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way to and I see that Mr. Benson's in the audience. Is there any way that you can go in and out on Hines Street?
In and out on Hines Street?
Yeah, and not go in off of Pomeroy at all. I mean, if you come in there and now you where you're talking, you've got the freedom to look through and to choose and to circulate and whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you come in off of there, it would seem to me that you could certainly create your own circulation.
A complete circulation.
Absolutely.
It's not an angle. It's complete judgment through the whole thing.
Hines Street is also one way up to Dolliver.
Right. Yeah, but we're speaking if that has ever changed. If the circulation pattern ever changed, would there be an egress in it?
I brought that up once.
I don't think that was answered. I didn't understand it. Is it possible to have an entrance and exit on that same?
Oh, yeah. You could widen this out right here to create the two-way entrance and exit. The true issue of Pomeroy is how do you get service trucks in that area if you close it down? There's no alleys.
Okay.
And that's the true issue.
We really kind of need to address that because I think in some of our mind's eye, we're thinking that maybe Pomeroy should be a walking mall. But what you're saying, that's impossible. We really
almost,
could never.
Almost. Unless you have some kind of travel lane and you close off the parking and you widen the pedestrian. But you have to get service trucks in there because we have no alleys.
Why isn't it?
Well, because, God, we've gone over this so many times, is that you put, and I can't remember what you call them, bollards or something like that, but you put these posts in the middle of Pomeroy Street. And then our service personnel or our police that are out there on duty, all they got to do is go and stick a lock in there and then set that bollard down on the ground. And then we allow delivery trucks to come in there from 5:30 in the morning till 7:30 in the morning. I don't know if those times are right. Don't hold me to that. And then at the end of that time, then we put those bollards back up again, and there's no more service trucks in there. Now, some in the audience there, like Rick, is going to say, well, the service people just aren't going to do that. Well, there are other sub-service people that will do that.
And it might work if it was just one block instead of two.
So, Rick, please don't get out there and shake your head like that. Just listen and contribute.
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
Randy, how many parking spaces is this redesign short now?
It's right at 10%, about 14 stalls.
That's a huge improvement.
Yeah.
You might state how much there were to begin with, how much deficiency there was to begin.
Around 75, yeah. This is a major redesign and a major
79 spaces
take a look at
initially.
The zoning ordinance allows up to 30%. They're at about 10%.
10% in lieu?
Yeah, right now, less than 10%.
And then again, the in lieu fees are they're not as high as they should be. Not if we're really, really going to build a garage or whatever, provide parking.
Any kind of parking.
Let me talk about that for a minute. Let me go back over here because I want to.
But 10% is a lot better than 30%.
But it's not 0%.
Oh. There's
like you're asking Rick.
Just to be honest with you, there's a slippery slope when you go into parking in lieu fees. And let me tell a little story, and it's true, and it was very scary at the time because I didn't know what to do. When I got to Visalia, one of my charges was to build some parking structures in the downtown area adjacent to Quia Delta Hospital and also to build the Radisson Hotel. That was my my how they hired me. They wanted me to do the Radisson, build the Radisson, and redo the downtown. Before I got there, about 7 years before then, or 8 years before then, the city approved a five-story medical building in the downtown next to Cuya Delta Hospital. And the council at that time did a quick estimate of what a parking stall would cost. And it was, I forgot what the number was, $7,000 or something like that. They required the medical building to pay the full fee. They put it in a fund, and everything went on its way. My job was to start building this parking structure, and so I accumulated the money from some of redevelopment, some saved general fund money, and the parking in lieu fund. I was under construction, and I had an attorney walk in my office and ask me, the doctors want to know where their assigned parking is, because they own it. They did. I checked with the city attorney, and the city attorney went white. And we were building a parking structure to serve a private person. And so what happens is if you collect too much, it becomes a proprietary right.
Understood.
And so basically there's three areas where you can get how you build parking structures is, the first is you use in-lieu fees to supplement it. The second is you can either pass a bond the citywide and build it. The third is a redevelopment district, and the fourth is a parking district. I've looked at redevelopment here, and I don't know if we could form a redevelopment district downtown because we can't prove the blight. We're too rich. So we're down to almost three options: is the parking in lieu to supplement it, a bond issue, or a parking district. And so I want to caution you on that story, because it is true, is that, and there's been other parking districts where people have participated and paid the full amount, and they have ownership. And so the parking stalls is for the general public, and if you get too close, it becomes a proprietary right. And so I just wanted to share that with
Randy,
you.
That's been exactly my point all along, is that if you're going to build it, you're going to build the parking spaces to accommodate, and you can have all the proprietary rights you want to that parking space. Meaning there's no more in-lieu fees. I understand that's an extreme. I understand exactly what Mr. Sorgenfrey is talking about. He's exactly right. But darn it, you know, we do not have infinite space. Land, ground, space. We have infinite airspace, obviously, but we do not have the luxury of being able to collect in lieu fees from people. If somebody's going to build something, they're going to provide the parking 100%.
Well, you also run into the problem of existing development that
didn't provide it.
Right.
Well, but you know,
there's two classes. There's the people that came first that didn't provide any. And the second is the people now are coming that are charged with everything.
Well, and but I think this has got to be a real part of our discussion.
Absolutely.
You know, it may be the next phase mm-hmm. of this discussion, but I think this is one of the reasons why I'm having
absolutely.
This meeting. Because if we're going to try to provide enough parking, we have to say, okay, we're either going to purchase some property and we're going to put a structure, or we're going to find a piece we have now and put a structure, or find...
Right.
We have underground parking, but what is the cost of that, and are we collecting enough fees?
Yeah. Madam Mayor, if I may, and this involves a parcel that I'm dealing with in the downtown core, and if we do the math at 200 square foot per parking lot, the and as
per
ground
parking
story parking,
space?
Not parking structure, the ground story is $32,000 per spot. Just for the dirt. Now we have to go to engineering. Now we have to get it improved. We'd be very, very lucky to build it at $50,000 per parking space.
And that's ground, that's not
subterranean. That's just ground floor. Now there's some other things that I'll be speaking with all of you about at a later date regarding a situation like this. But just for your edification, we're looking at $32,000 land cost, just what Commissioner Ehring was saying. $32,000 land cost to buy that 200 square feet of land that it takes to put in a parking space. So the $9,000 is far short.
This problem is not going to go away, so we have to address it.
No.
So.
One final thing that I want to bring up to you. In front of you, you have a binder. And what that is that's the Planning Commission's and the staff's tool. The zoning ordinance has gray areas, and the general plan has gray areas. And when we run into one of those gray areas, and that book accumulates, you'll see memos back in 1999 and earlier up to last week, is that when we reach, when we find an area of a roof sign, what should be, or a fence height, or what is, how do you determine height, or whatever, we either make a staff determination and create a working policy, or we take it to the Planning Commission and have the Planning Commission adopt that working policy. And so when projects come in and they're in the question is those gray areas, we go to that book and re-reference that, yes, on that date we decided to interpret it this way, and so we maintain consistency through time. So what that tool is every project coming in that has a gray area, we don't just make an instant decision on. We refer back to how we interpreted that prior, and we implement that. And that book is valuable. And I don't think the planning committee and the city council has ever had that.
No.
And even was aware that that existed.
Right.
And it's a very good tool to show how we're providing consistency with these outside issues that show up.
Okay, thank you. Is this a good time for us to take a 5-minute break?
Yes.
I think we need it. Okay, 5 minutes, so it'll be just a little bit before. Everybody here? Did John have to leave? I hope not.
I think he's just making his telephone call after
that. Yeah, cool now. I know. I was afraid not to turn it on. What do you think? Please, would you try to get everybody? We're missing Rudy. Okay, let's go ahead and begin.
Hi. What I was going to say is that's kind of where we're at, and a kind of an overview of what processes we've been going and what ordinances and policies we've been following. I thought now if the city council would have any issues they'd like to discuss with the planning commission, maybe we can kind of culminate with that with some kind of direction. If there's I do want to mention one thing is that George Eads is working on the parking in lieu fees, and the target date is April 19th. But we are working on these issues.
Okay, so you have finished everything that was
yes.
on this agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So we're down to the point where we're going to have some discussion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take about 5 minutes or so and open this up to the public for a minute. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak to any of the issues that were discussed?
Rick Turton, 468 Bellow. One of the things is that the council, quite a while back, said, let's talk about a workshop about traffic circulation and parking. at that point in time, the community improvement group picked up that. And there's a lot of work that's being done kind of below the radar screen right now that it, on, the community improvement group has. That shows the downtown area. We've counted all the parking spots in the downtown area, and basically from the Y, from Price Street to the ocean to the creek. So we have an idea of how many are on public streets, how many are in private lots, and we have a pretty good idea. Then we've also done some time studies to see how much of that is being used up by the residents parking on the street and by you know, the employees and stuff like that. So we have a pretty good idea of what's going on. Also, we've looked at four areas about potentially putting parking structures in. We figured out the space. Mark hit it right on the nose. $50,000 is probably our minimum, is to buy dirt and put a surface lot in there. Construction, Ted was right on over there with $30,000. You know, there's, we've got a lot of stuff already in the books. Whenever we're going to talk about it, we can bring it out and talk more about it. I don't know, you know, if this is appropriate or not, more of just a finding. But there is a lot that's already been done by the community improvement group to study the traffic circulation. Another thing we took a look at, Bill, was your idea about paid parking, and we came up with a fairly decent number of, depending on how much operations is going to eat out of it, probably about, if you did paid parking in just the 132 spaces in the pier, you could probably generate between $50,000 and $100,000 a year, and that's allowing for somebody to operate and take it out. But of course it would change hugely the dynamic of the downtown to do that. But another thing we took a look at is how much would it cost to wipe out the pier parking lot in the first block of Pomeroy. It would cost us about $7.8 million just to replace that parking on dirt level parking things. So we've got some numbers like that, so when it's appropriate we can sure bring it forward.
Wait a minute, $7.8 million to replace the pier parking lot, is that what you're saying?
In other words, you got, Marianne, you've got 132 spaces there, you've got 14 spaces in the first block of Pomeroy. Take that out and buy, you know, put it at $50,000 a space,
oh,
and
I
that would be set about $7.8 million. Yeah. Another thing too that we've done some studies on is taking the downtown area and figuring out what kind of downtown. Remember, this is the greater downtown: Price, Dolliver, the Y to the Creek. That's our downtown, not the core we're talking about, but that area. We take the sales tax that's been generated in that area, divided by the number of parking spots that we think is viable that's left over. It comes out with about $200 a parking spot generated in sales tax, or $20,000 a year. Now that goes in a matrix. Closer to the pier is more valuable than, say, someplace in the middle of Main Street on the 300 block of Main Street. So that, and it's generating tax capabilities. And that holds up pretty true, so we can start doing with some of those numbers, whatever number you want to come up with, and we're figuring out this is like $30 a person, the space turns three times, which is what we've seen and noticed. You can do some fairly good studies and figure out what's feasible and what's viable. Here's a number. At $50,000 a cost of space and it generates $200 a year in sales tax, it takes 250 years just to recoup the cost of the space, with just sales tax doing the work.
Yeah, but Rick, you see, that's also making some other assumptions that I believe are incorrect. I think that $7.8 million you're talking about is bogus, and let me tell you why. Is because I certainly wouldn't advocate not allowing parking anymore in the parking place, in the parking lot. What I envision is that we would then develop that pier parking lot, and then there would be a source of income that is provable for bond financing and other things to help build the parking structure.
I'm just saying that just raw, taking those spaces out, taking them away,
yeah,
is going to cost you times $50,000.
Right, but you can't do that because there's income that's going to be generated out of that is not there and available now.
Well,
we
need to have
structures.
That discussion, obviously.
We do. See, I know. And
you know, we've been waiting out here to talk about whether we're going to do certain things or not.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
what's viable. And one of the things is that I'd like to just throw out here, what constitutes a parking problem? Okay, you know, Arlene and I can't get in our cars and drive down and park in front of Brad's on Saturday at 1 o'clock almost any day. Is that a parking problem or not? I can tell you that within about three blocks of the intersection of Cypress and Pomeroy, you can find a parking spot probably 90 to 95% of the time. We just don't have people do that. You can see the 200 block of Pomeroy impacted bumper to bumper with cars. Turn around and look at the 300 block of Pomeroy, and there's parking.
Yeah, but you see,
is that a parking problem?
But there's a fallacy with that. And the fallacy with that, Rick, if you don't mind, is that that's looking at today. I fully expect that as the population of the state of California grows, as we get more tourism, that the Conference and Visitors Bureau are doing their job, getting more off-season promotion and those types of things. If we plan for today the way that today is, you're absolutely right. But what happens 20 years from now? We need to make a concerted effort that what we're doing is going to complement the future. And if it's an overkill for today, then so be it. It's an overkill for today, but it will not be in the future. And that's our job as a city council, as I see it.
Like you and I have talked many times, land isn't getting any cheaper. So if we're going to do something, we ought to.
There's no question about that, but okay. We never go anywhere. It's like paid parking. 1994, I first brought the company in here.
True. I know. He's right. It's, I know. We keep talking about it and never really.
We never do anything.
I know.
Just frustrating.
This is what today is about, is for us to talk about. Let's take some definitive steps from here. Is there anybody else in the public that would like to get up and speak? Okay, thank you. I'll bring it back. I'll bring it back to the Planning Commission first. And I'm seeing that there's a couple of things that we really need to talk about, and that's, you know, do we want to do anything about traffic circulation, parking structures, or parking in some manner, and do we want to look at that specific plan again?
I concur. I think that it would be looking at the specific plan. I think that maybe revisiting. Obviously, there was a great deal of staff work done on that. It's already existing. We can find it someplace, it sounds like. You know, maybe reviewing that first. If you want to have the Planning Commission take it on first and look at it and then have recommendations or opinions or whatever, then go to the council. I mean, that would be one way to do it. We could have another joint meeting. We could all review it prior to the meeting, obviously, and then come and have a general discussion. I think what would come out of that is the Planning Commission looking for guidance from the council on how you'd like for us to proceed. And then I guess the other item is parking. I just have a few opinions on it. I think that I would kind of agree with, or I would agree with Rick in one term, and that you know, our parking problem is really 2.5 months out of the year, and that's in the summertime. And I think that it's just as we have to look forward, we also have to look at the big picture. And the big picture is we need redevelopment. I mean, that we need to keep changing our city if we're going to attract tourism. It's just like Disneyland had this for me a long time ago. They kept putting a new ride in every year because they wanted people to come back. And I think that's one of the reasons why Pismo Beach has been so successful in continuing its TOT increases, is because we continue to offer more to the tourists. And if you look at some of the other cities, like I'll use Solvang as an example, that's sort of stagnant in what they've done. They're not doing very well. And if you look at Morro Bay, and you know, that we're constantly offering more to the tourists. And I think that a building such as the Benson Project is going to bring more tourism. And I think it's important to not have a building like this go through over 15 parking spaces. I mean, I think it's the upside of it is so much greater. And I think that one reason why we have these in lieu fees is because it may not be economically feasible for a developer to build all the parking places. And I really do feel like, not to get centered on this project, but I mean, we reached a pretty strong compromise, I think, when we came from 72 to 15. And so I think that for the parking issue, I think we should do something. And you're right. I mean, we've talked about paid parking. We've talked about parking structures. I firmly believe if it's still even feasible to do, we ought to buy some land. It'd be a good investment. And have it for the future if we ever do want to build something. At least we can acquire the land. It'll be a better investment probably for us than put it in the bank. I mean, it's going to go up. But I don't know if the research, I guess there's some research been done on what's available, but I don't know what is available right now to build a parking structure. Even if we buy the land and build the parking structure 10 years from now, at least we have the land. Mm-hmm. Those would be my comments.
Okay. Ted?
I think this in the downtown area, especially around the pier, okay, and what has been defined as the central core area, is very critical for parking. Okay. okay, I think that's where the beach people come. I think it's the number one priority. If you solve that, you can then move on to your circulation problem. But when you know where you're going to provide this parking, even if you get in lieu of fees, for example, I'll give you an example. I believe before the Benson project is approved, that we decide what we're going to do with that parking space by the pier. If we want a plaza on the top, then we better put some underground parking replacement on that piece of property before Benson puts his underground parking in, and so that the city basically gets together with the clam digger, gets together with the Benson property, and build this underground parking that's going to be necessary to put the level of street retail on the top and then some sort of structures above. So I think our specific plan really has to center around how are we going to provide this parking. Now, when we provide this parking, I think Rick and the other business people downtown will buy into this parking. And then anybody that builds anything, we have in lieu of parking to offer. There it is. I mean, it cost us, I don't know, $30,000 to $50,000 of car space. We can recover X number of dollars starting now by fees, parking fees that you can charge parking fees for these underground parking spots. And when you do, you're going to have some idea of what it's going to cost you, what's going to cost the city for this, how you're going to pay for it, and what any of those fees are going to be.
But don't you think the circulation and the parking goes hand in hand? You can't.
I think there are two. There around the pier area, Pomeroy and Dolliver and Cypress Street and I don't know. Let's go over to Hines or say from Main Street over to Simpson or something of that nature. We're looking at an area that's got to serve the tourists. I mean, mm-hmm. That's 43% to 50% of the income to run
right.
The city. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have to keep that a tourist area. We got to provide them a place to park.
Okay.
We did this in Huntington Beach. Because we had the same kind of problem. We were facing the very same problem down around the pier. We had to provide parking. We built the parking structure and they started out charging people to park. People said, well, the business won't, people won't come. You won't get it. That's not true. They did come. We started out with $1 a car for an hour or something. And before you knew it, we were up to $2-3 a day, and then during the summertime, increase that to $5 to park all day.
But some of that's going to depend on, for instance, the Benson property, what is in there to attract the people to come and pay that.
Exactly.
So if there is some really good retail in there, that'll help.
I guess my biggest point is that parking is the number one priority.
Uh-huh.
So once we decide that, we can decide how our specific plan is going to fit together down there. And another thing that I would like to push for in that, I'm not sure why we have to have a 35-foot height restriction. I don't see any problem on a couple of places of having a 16-story, 5-star hotel right downtown with a convention center. I don't see any problem with that. And But I don't necessarily want to see high-rise buildings like that in every piece of property down there. You know, like you block out the ocean that you need in
exactly.
Florida
yeah.
or Hawaii or someplace like that. I think you can have a couple of these structures, and those kinds of structures can basically build enough units to build them. Four stories down and one story up, parking. You know, I mean, they can afford it if they have enough. If they have enough rooms in it,
gotcha.
And that's exactly what you have seen in the Huntington Beach area. Hyatt Regency built right on the coast. The Hilton built right on the coast. Okay, and
And you lost Surf City.
Pardon?
And you lost Surf City.
No, Surf City's still there. The Ponchos and the Jack's surfboard place are still, Jack's is still there. It does a tremendous amount of business, just like Poncho does.
Okay, right. Thank you, Ted.
Thanks, Ted.
Chris?
I think the idea of putting together a specific plan, or at least updating a specific plan, is a great idea. I think that we do have a general plan in place. We have zoning code. We have principles and policies in which to review projects, both consistency with the current vision of the city and what's consistent with the general plan and best for the city. But having a specific plan that articulates a more definitive concept of what the downtown core should look like or what people envision it should be would be very helpful. At the same time, I think that the specific plan needs to address parking. But parking, I think it's a key issue, but some people think that having a parking problem is not necessarily a problem, but
it's a good thing.
It's a good thing. It's a symptom that people like your city and they want to come down and do business with it. So trying to resolve what could be not necessarily a problem but a good thing, there's a compromise. I think you can go too far, and you have to think about how far you want to go. I've talked to other cities and they say, well, gee, I wish we had a parking problem. And personally, from someone as a planning commissioner who looked at the Cypress project fairly critically, looking back, I think, well, yeah, we've brought up some key issues regarding parking, but my point is that there needs to be a compromise on how far you take parking. At the same time, if the specific plan is updated and eventually will be adopted, the impacts or the issues resulting from adopting this specific plan have to be analyzed. And those issues are parking and circulation and aesthetics. One of the issues that's been brought up, and Ted pointed out, is about the height of the buildings. Well, when we looked at some of these buildings within downtown, as well as off of Shell Beach Road, the issue came up, well, is it consistent with the small town character and atmosphere of Pismo Beach? So that's an issue, I think, that has to be brought up and dealt with and analyzed as part of that specific plan.
Okay, thank you. Mark?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I agree that a specific plan would be a very good thing, and we'd certainly look forward to working with staff to resurrect and or create a new one for your review. I agree wholeheartedly with Commissioner Ehring and Chairman Sorgenfrey regarding parking. I think it's vital, and I think the closer we can get it to and or in the downtown core, the easier it is for us to support our businesses. I agree again with Chairman Sorgenfrey, that if there are pieces of property or a property available that the city could purchase now, they don't necessarily need to go through the hoops and build it now, but to have control of the piece of property, I think that'd be very important. You're right, circulation is hand in hand, and it is important. I think it'd be easier to deal with circulation after the fact than parking after the fact, because we have so few pieces of land that will accommodate parking available. Mm-hmm. So if we locate the property for parking, perhaps we can address circulation from that point. When we discussed in lieu of fees at Planning Commission, my comment on that was, well, if we're going to, whatever they are, we establish them, fine, but we need to make certain that they go toward parking.
I agree.
Absolutely, yeah, parking.
Totally.
I think the character of our city as we move forward is very important, and with all due respect, I disagree vehemently with Commissioner Ehring on using Huntington Beach as an example. I was born and raised there, and there are very few families, if any, whose history goes deep into that town as mine do, and I think that town has, with all due respect to the people in Huntington Beach, I think it's been approached with greed-based planning. I think there have been some terrible mistakes made in Huntington Beach, and the character of the Surf City that I was born and raised in is gone, and I don't want to see the same mistakes made here. And I think that if we go down the wrong path, we could make them. The correspondence that I see that we get come from our visitors. They talk about the character of our city and how this is still a great beach town and that it should remain a great beach town. That's what they love about it, and that's what I love about it.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Bradford.
I'm the freshman here, so I'm trying to get attuned to some of the specific needs that have been addressed by the Planning Commission up to the time that I joined. But I'm also a tourist sometimes in this town. Even though I live here, some days, weekends, I'm a tourist, and I sense some of these needs on traffic, circulation, parking. I think measuring parking needs in a seasonal tourist community like Pismo Beach is like trying to measure a jellyfish with a rubber band. We've got to come up with, I think, some guidance from, and we would look to the council for guidance on some baseline needs that I think already exist. But one of the problems, the in-lieu fees, and Councilman Rabinault touched upon this, the in-lieu fees are this one-time hit that don't address the ongoing issue as the community continues to develop. And so I think we need to have a little more far-reaching vision that makes the community inviting to the tourist and to members of the community who want to visit, especially the downtown core areas.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we've kind of heard what the Planning Commission had to say, and I'm probably going to look to staff to help us a little bit, but I'm going to bring it back to the council. If you don't each want individually want to speak, that's okay. But what I would ask is, where do you want to go from here?
Well, I wanted to address the parking, that it's only 2.5 months out of the year. I think that's some years back, that's how it was. But I think now that we do have a problem longer than 2.5 months, which is a great problem. They call the off-season. Now, off-season seems to be getting smaller and smaller. The people are really starting to come to our community. And like Commissioner Ehring said, what brings them here? Beach, the beach, the beach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why they all come here. They don't come here to go to ponchos. They don't come here to, it's the beach. So we really have to keep that in mind, and we have to have parking so they can go to that beach. So taking the parking away from down at the pier, I think that our little community is so unique that it's one of the few communities that have parking, a parking lot right at the beach. So if someone wants to put it underground, whatever. But I think we still need to have that parking. That makes it unique. Our surfers. We have a lot of tourists that are surfers that come here, but we also have a lot of residents, that height limit that our constituents do not want. So I think that we really have to look at that. And then having a workshop. We talked about having a workshop. Now, a workshop to me is when the planning commissioner, the council, staff, and the community. The community needs to be involved when we make these decisions. So I think it's very important to have a workshop. And that's all I have at this time, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much. Shelley.
Just going back to the parking problem, if we go forward with a lot of these new projects, then we are going to have a bigger parking problem, because now we have to also find spaces for the employees. So I somewhat disagree with the 2.5 month issue. The other thing is, I think as Council and Planning Commission, we need to look at view corridor preservation. Beach access and view corridor, two really hot issues that are coming before Planning Commission and the Council, and I think we need to address it with some policy, and could be part of that workshop too, because to Mayor Arlene's point, people have lived in these homes for a long time, their property values have gone up, and a lot of it is based on their view. And now we have new people coming in and building and taking that away. And it's not fair. And I think that we need to get with the city improvement group and meet with them and look at their documents and utilize their resources for all the hard work that it sounds like they've been doing. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, Bill?
You know, workshops, parking, all of these kind of things. I've been on this council since 1997, with a short break in between. And, you know, if many of you will remember, we hired a city manager by the name of Suzanne Bragdon. One of the first things she did was have a big workshop, the public and city council and everybody else in the world, down at the Cliffs Hotel. Very, very successful. We've done nothing. We had What's that study that was done back in the early 90s? The
Rudat.
We had a Rudat study. Nice study.
I agree.
We've done nothing with it. We've had large task force meetings again in the 90s with members of the community. Nothing's ever happened. You know, I'm getting tired of it. The community's getting tired of it. And what happens is staff has to keep listening to somebody like me be a pain in the butt, and that isn't who I want to be. We need to move forward. It's time that we looked at Schlumberger, who is a parking fee collector all around the world, all over Europe, and we need to get paid parking. If we're throwing away $100,000 a year, as Rick Turton suggests, I tried putting this thing in here 11 years ago. You know, that's over $1 million that this company has not collected because we just haven't done anything. That's nonsense. The other thing, you know, we talk about the surfers, you know, wanting to come down and go surfing and all those kind of things. I think that's great. But we also have an Addy Street parking lot and we have a boardwalk. I mean, it is a 200-foot walk to make that happen. The other things, I don't know that I totally disagree with Mr. Ehring with reference to the tall buildings and those types of things, but I can tell you I certainly agree with Mrs. Higginbotham in that if we are going to do that, we need to establish those view corridors so that the people in the heights and other areas up there on the hills can certainly see right through them, right down to the ocean. All that is good planning. That isn't anything magic at all. The specific plan, yeah, it's a good thing. But, you know, I don't know how many other people out there are like me. I hope not many of you. But I'm best at visual interpretation. Now, many of you will remember when we decided we were going to take a look at the traffic flow, we're making changes to some one-way streets and whatever, and we had a huge workshop over at the police department. And lo and behold, what happened? They brought in these huge aerial photographs. We could sit down. We all sat down at different desks. And we visualized how this whole thing was going to work. Came up with a conclusion and implementation followed shortly thereafter. What I advocated to this council during our retreat and what I'll advocate again today is that I would like to commission Mr. Delzite to come up with a series of aerial photographs of the downtown core from Dolliver to the end of the pier, from Stimson Street over to Main Street. Then what I'd like to do is I'd like to give one of these to the CIG. I'd like to give one of these to the Planning Commission. I'd like to give one of these to each member of the council so that we can talk to...
There was a time when I thought that you don't want to bring in paid parking because the people would be objecting to it. And, you know, I think that we've come to that era now that where I think we do need that. And we should at least start talking about it. The specific plan issue, I think that we should take another look at it. And so that we're all totally familiar with it. And that, along with some aerial views that Bill's been talking about, I think will certainly help us make some kind of determination as to what we want to see. The other thing I notice, everybody talks about parking downtown proper. What's wrong with Bellow Street? We have an old city hall there. We have the fire department. We have the police department. There's some property there I'm certain that we can go after and purchase from the church that's behind the city hall there. Ideal spot for a hell of a good parking facility. And I think we should start looking at that too. Not just concentrate on building this thing downtown where it's going to obstruct everybody's views and we're going to catch all kinds of hell from the public because of that. But I do feel that we should look in other areas beyond that side of the freeway, at least go on the other side of the freeway and take a look at some of the property. I think we do have some property up there too, don't we, on Bellow Street. And these things coupled with... But everybody else, I like all the comments that everybody's made here. They were very precise, and a lot of them were very good comments. I worked at the Huntington Beach for many, many years, and there's a different atmosphere down there because you've got a large industry down there. You've got the aerospace, and you've got That determines what kind of parking and traffic patterns you're going to have in a city. We don't have that kind of thing here. We have unique problems here, and we have to address those unique problems. Okay, we're just a narrow stretch along Highway 101, and we've got to use all that property for the fullest that we can, for parking, for traffic circulation, for parking structures, and whatever else that we need. So I think that we have to start to look at the broader picture, just not look at the downtown core. Because I'm not looking at Bello Street as being a downtown core. Everybody forgets that that belongs to Pismo. So I think that we have to look there too. And I know that there's some good properties there that we can utilize to maximum for parking and whatever else we want to put on it. So there's an area that we have to keep, you know, let's keep an open mind. Let's go outside the box, let's say, and look at other properties. But I agree with Bill. The parking, I think the time has come where we've got to start thinking about the charge. I don't know if anybody's been doing a lot of traveling, but I've been doing an awful lot of traveling with the league. I'm paying $18 a night for parking at the hotels. That's a lot of money. And this, it's nothing. I mean, they look at it like nothing. You know, they collect it, nobody complains, they pay it, that's it. And I think we'll have the same situation here. If we're starting to charge for parking, I don't think that the people are going to get, you know, put out by that. The people that's coming in here, they come in here to enjoy the scenery. We got the beaches, we got everything here to provide them. We got a restaurant row that's growing on Price Street. And it's the talk of the whole Central Coast. So I think we have to really utilize all of our resources. Okay, let's look beyond just the downtown core for parking and for traffic studies. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay, you're welcome. I'm going to try to summarize, but I guess what I'm trying to look at is we're all came to the conclusion we want to do something. We want to do something almost immediately. So do we start with a specific plan? I need some help as to how we do this and get it accomplished and set a deadline for ourselves so that we just don't go on and on.
Well, I have a suggestion. Maybe you could have, if you'd like the Planning Commission to take it on first, have staff resurrect it, find it,
okay.
Present it to us. It's kind of hard for me to determine what we're going to, because I haven't looked at it, so I don't know what kind of, you know, how that process would work, but at least it would start there. That way we get direction today on accomplishing it, and then we would forward it on to the council with our recommendations.
Would you do that at a special meeting or at a regular meeting?
No, I think we could have that. I think we could have that as we probably have to pick the right meeting for that. But we have meetings where we could certainly tackle that at a public, you know, mm-hmm. regular meeting, and or at least look at it. And then if it's so detailed that we need a special meeting at that time, then we could elect to have that. And then I agree on the parking issue. I mean, I think that. Again, I don't know if that's really a Planning Commission function, but, you know, to at least go out and direct staff to get some proposals to the council. You know, I work in San Luis Obispo, and I tell you, I've got to have change in my ashtray or I'll get a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't park.
You've
got it, and you just get used to it, and you don't think anything about it. And having grown up in, you know, Newport and Laguna Beach, I mean, a lot of those people come here. They're not going to be opposed. And
sure.
I agree.
Yes.
Some developers who want to get on with their business.
I agree.
That's true.
Okay.
We put them off for so long that 6 months we should have this thing done.
Done. I agree.
Yeah.
That's why
I
want to.
In fact, Ian Liu's not even coming back until April, right? Isn't that what you said, Randy?
George is working on.
You know, I mean that's.
So that's got to go into the mix too. So, all right, the two things we want to accomplish then is to immediately assign this to the Planning Commission. How long do you need before you come back to us?
Well, it would depend upon how long staff would need to take to resurrect it. I guess it would just be providing us copies. I mean, I wouldn't think that would take a great deal of time. And then we can, Randy knows our agenda. I know we've got a few
That's
things
correct.
Coming up, but we would look expedite it.
Okay.
We could expedite it, but we would have to hold back on some of the zoning ordinance updates that we've been working on. We'll have to substitute in because there's only so much that we can feed to the Planning Commission.
Randy?
I'll be honest with you.
So do you have a suggestion?
But that's okay.
Should we?
No, that's okay.
That's
I'm not
okay.
saying we can't do that. I'm just saying we'll have to substitute in.
Mm-hmm.
And we have copies of that, and it's if you remember, you may have it at home. The chamber was gracious enough to put all those back documents on a CD mm-hmm. about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. That specific plan is on there. The root ed study
is
on there.
It
the strategic
is.
Plan
it
is on there.
I'm wondering where mine is.
All that information is.
It's online?
And it's online.
That's okay.
Correct. I think
it's on the website, the specific plan?
I think it's on the CD.
It's on the CD. It's not on the website. Because I looked.
The CD is on the website.
Everything that's on that CD is on our website.
The chamber website.
Yeah, I thought I went to it, but I don't remember it being on there. But
we can resurrect that.
Okay.
That information.
All right, but now, and I realize we're replacing priorities, but I think what I'm hearing is we've got to address this now.
That's correct.
And that means some of your zoning things are going to be
correct.
Put on the back burner. And I'm going to throw this out. Does anybody want to hire a planner to work on this?
No.
No.
Okay. I'm just asking.
We can do it, Madam Mayor.
Because, I mean, if this is our high priority.
Our in-house planners we need.
Mm-hmm. I know,
I agree.
But then there's some of their other work's going to, you know, be sliding. So I just want to point that out.
What I'm hearing is we have a finished document. Let's just start
with that.
Let's just get some copies made and have mm-hmm. us look at it and then go from there.
Okay, so when do you think you can...
So we have the copies, we'll be happy to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so at the next meeting?
Our next three...
If I can resurrect them by the next meeting, we can distribute them out to the Planning Commission.
Okay,
and then the Planning
be on
Commission...
that CD. Will we all have it by CD? I have to look on my... I wonder what I did with it. All right. Now,
in fact, if they all have computers at home and Rebecca is certain that it's on there, they can get it tonight if they...
There's a button on the website that says...
Mm-hmm.
Click on that, and then all of those documents that were on the CD is under that...
Okay.
So there you go.
Okay,
so they're available right now.
Okay, thank you. All right. So then... So give me a date. I want us to have some measures.
Our next three meetings are very full, aren't they?
Right.
Okay. How about
what I propose is let's distribute it out next Planning Commission meeting to the Planning Commission.
Okay.
Give them a couple of weeks for them to review it.
Okay.
At that next meeting, we can have a short discussion to see if we need to have a special meeting or... basically a review, because all of us, I think the Planning Commission needs to read it and then understand, is it all the things we want, or do we need to dissect it apart and break it into sections?
I think to do is continually work from deadlines, though.
I agree. That's what I'm trying to do
like
here.
When we look at this, we'll determine at that time then what's the next step and what's mm-hmm. that deadline. So staff can get back to council and say, okay, we've reviewed it. Now this is the timetable for it to be.
And there's not any particular action on here. This will just be direction to the staff of where we want to go. This seems to be one of our highest priorities. So.
Yeah, but I don't know why the Planning Commission... Does every commissioner have a computer? I mean, I don't know why that if you have a computer, you got to wait for 2 weeks to have it handed to you.
No,
it makes no sense.
No,
we're going to review it, but we're going to
And then you start reviewing it, and then at your next meeting, Planning Commission meeting, then Randy holds a little short meeting beforehand and says, "Do you think that what do y'all think?" And there you've just raised the bar by three weeks. Why?
That's fine. We'll review it.
There's no need to wait. It's there
Planning
and available.
Can review it between now and the next meeting, and if you could put it on the agenda so we can discuss it as a business item, then or do we have to agendize it at a meeting?
Why?
I guess our legal counsel is going
to
tell us that.
It has to go to the meeting.
Well, the issue before...
Unless I, in fact, maybe we are. Maybe I should do it at the city council meeting, because what I want to do is I want to direct staff to look at Schlumberger or look at one of these other. We don't want parking meters. I mean, we all know we don't want parking meters. But
why not parking meters?
The vandalism, the collection cost, all of the things involved with it. I had big talks with San Luis Obispo.
Well, I don't think that we're there yet. I think this will come out of all this.
It has nothing to do with. We need paid parking. We lose over $100,000 a year.
We didn't make a decision that that's what we wanted to do.
Okay.
Fine. Okay. Then the second thing that the and final thing that I would like to is bring forward again is those aerial photographs, so that we could have a visual to see all of these words have no action.
I don't. Is this anything the rest of the council thinks they need, or the Planning Commission?
I think it would, you know, I can see how, looking at an overview, but I mean, we have maps, we have the blueprints that we saw. I mean, part of the problem in planning is looking at heights and things like that. I don't know if an aerial photograph would.
No, and what I'm talking about, as an example, has been brought out that maybe we should extend the pier a couple, and I'm talking 20 years now, extend the pier out a couple of hundred feet and now commercialize that and start gaining the couple of million dollars a year that Santa Barbara gains off of their pier, as an example.
That's a policy decision.
To see what a vision might look like for this community in 20 years. I had nothing to do with heights or anything else.
The maps that we have in downtown are drawn off the aerial photographs that you're looking at. So,
so no one feels the need for that.
The streets and the houses and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
You know, there's a website, too, where we can actually go and because they photograph the whole coast. That's when Barbara Streisand sued.
California Records Project.
Yeah. And that's available. And you can see pretty good.
We're getting down to the time element. If nobody else thinks that we need that, then we won't request it.
I guess I just didn't explain it well enough.
Okay. Thank you.
May I add one thing?
Sure.
Is that we'll prepare regular printed copies of the document for council and the Planning Commission, because a lot of times when you're studying something, you want to make notes on that document.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's helpful.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Is there anything else anybody wants to add? This meeting's adjourned. This is the regular meeting of the Pismo Beach.
I therefore move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessing
on our deliberations that are held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate in that service. James Madison concurred, and such resolution was passed. From that day until today, for the past 218 years, prayers have opened both houses of Congress daily in the United States Senate and the United States House of Representatives. It is in this spirit that we pray this invocation today. We are grateful, our Heavenly Father, for the privilege to gather publicly in the Pismo Beach City Council meeting. We have freely elected our mayor and her colleagues to our City Council, and now, in obedience to Holy Scripture, we support and undergird each of these and their support staff with our prayers. We pray for each of them publicly tonight, as already we have prayed for each of them daily by name in our personal prayers. And we are reminded once again that good government is not the idea that's generated in the heart of people, but good government is a principle that originated in the heart of God. So give to each of our council persons today your divine wisdom to make wise and good decisions. And we ask that each decision that is made will honor you, O God, and be for the betterment of all of the citizens of Pismo Beach and all the guests who visit our beautiful city. We thank you for hearing our prayer. This invocation we pray in the name of our personal Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Put your right hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the next item on our agenda, there is two proclamations, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to come down to the podium. And the first proclamation is regarding Spay Day. Would Yvonne Gresser meet me at the podium? Oh, that's why she broke that. Okay. Whereas, this is a proclamation of the City of Pismo Beach proclaiming Tuesday, February 22, 2005 as Spay Day USA. Whereas, cats and dogs provide companionship to and share the homes of over 63 million individuals of the United States. And whereas, two unaltered cats and their offspring can produce 420,000 more cats in 7 years, and two unaltered dogs and their offspring can produce 67,000 more dogs in 6 years. And whereas humane societies and shelters have to kill approximately 4 million cats and dogs each year, although many of them are healthy and adoptable, simply because there are not good homes. And whereas the problem of companion animal overpopulation costs the taxpayers of this country over $1 billion annually through animal control programs aimed at coping with the millions of unwanted cats and dogs, and whereas spaying and neutering cats and dogs has been shown to drastically reduce cat and dog overpopulation, and whereas veterinarians, humane societies, national and local animal protection organizations, and private citizens work together to ensure the spaying or neutering of more than 100,000 companion animals through Spay Day USA 2004, and whereas veterinarians, humane societies, national and local animal protection organizations, and private citizens have joined together again to advocate the spaying and neutering of companion animals on Spay Day USA 2005. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach hereby proclaims February 22, 2005 as Spay Day USA, and the City Council calls upon the citizens of Pismo Beach to observe the day by having their own cats or dogs spayed or neutered, or by sponsoring the spaying or neutering of another person's cat and dog. Dated this 15th day of February 2005, signed by the Mayor, Mary Ann Reese. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Did you want to say anything?
Thank you to the fair city of Pismo Beach. Both myself and Lady are residents in Pismo Beach, and on behalf of Woods Humane Society, we thank you. It's very important, spaying and neutering, being in the humane business. We received over 700...
Susan Brazil here. Would you like to join me? This is a proclamation, National Wear Red Day, which I'm sorry I didn't do today.
You don't have to today.
Okay. Whereas National Wear Red Day, along with the American Heart Association, celebrates the extraordinary progress in women's health and recognizes more needs to be done in Pismo Beach to safeguard women's health for generations to come. Whereas heart disease is the number one killer of women in America, their health remains a priority for families, communities, organizations, and government, and our commitment to keeping women healthy is stronger than ever. Therefore, the City of Pismo Beach, with our city officials, along with the Pismo Beach Conference and Visitors Bureau, promoting our city as heart-healthy city, invite all our city businesses to ask their employees to wear red on Thursday, February 24th, 2005. I promise I will. Whereas, in addition, all women of Pismo Beach are invited to take sizable strides by participating in a Wear Red Pismo Beach Walk for a half-hour walk from 5:15 p.m. to 5:45 p.m. at the Pismo Beach Pier on Thursday, February 24th, 2005. Whereas two Pismo Beach organizations, the Pismo Beach Business Improvement Group and the Pismo Beach Chamber of Commerce, have taken even more positive steps to become a heart-healthy city by donating two automatic external defibrillators to be placed in strategic locations throughout the city of Pismo Beach. Whereas Pismo Beach will encourage our restaurants to serve heart-healthy choices. Whereas one in three American women dies of heart disease from risk factors such as high cholesterol, high blood pressure, smoking, physical inactivity, diabetes, a family history of early heart disease, and age. Whereas Wear Red Day and its red dress symbol are building awareness of women's heart risk and empowering them to reduce their risk to prevent heart disease. Now, therefore, I, Mayor Mary Ann Reese, do hereby proclaim Thursday, February 24th, 2005, as Wear Red Day in Pismo Beach, and encourage all citizens to wear red to unite in the national movement to give women a personal and urgent wake-up call about their risk of heart disease, dated this 15th day of February 2005. I think we have somebody here from BIG, too, don't we, in the chamber?
Yes, we do. Actually, we have a whole committee,
please
do
that.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Excuse me to have my back to you. Rebecca McMurray, the Executive Director of the Pismo Beach Chamber of Commerce, is here, along with Maggie Wright, who is the Business Improvement Group Acting President, as well as past President Greg Padgett for BIG. And I'll let them take over from here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor and members of Council, thank you for having us here tonight. The Pismo Beach Chamber of Commerce, as well as BIG and the CVB, this year are going to take great strides in working very hard to make Pismo Beach a heart-healthy city. And that's something that we can promote to all of our visitors that come here. In doing so, we will be placing an AED device in the Visitor Information Center, which is located in the heart of downtown. And the second AED device that will be available to the public will be placed at the Cliffs Resort. All year long, we will be doing some fundraising efforts to raise additional dollars to purchase AEDs to be placed in other strategic locations around town, and those locations have been identified by Chief Turner and his crew with CDF and Pismo Fire. So there's a great group of people. We're all working together in our efforts to make Pismo Beach a heart-healthy city. And Madam Mayor, if I may, I have a red dress pin that I'd like to give to all of Council and an invitation to the Heart Walk. And if I could introduce as well Sean Schur, our board president. He has a special invitation for Council and staff.
We'd like to take this moment to invite you, as always, to all of our mixers that we have. But the Cliffs Hotel on the 24th, after you're finished walking on the beach, getting heart happy and healthy and red, come down and enjoy the Cliffs Hotel. It's our way of celebrating also with one of our members and one of our mixers, which is very important. So we look forward to seeing all of the council staff and all of our members at that meeting. So thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
As past president of VIG, we're proud to be part of this and have educated ourselves to some degree recently about how much of a problem this is, especially among young people, surprisingly among young people. A large percentage, what is it, 20 or 30%?
30%. Thank you very much. I think it's a wonderful project. Would Hal Halden join me here at the podium? The next item on our agenda is presentations of appreciation to people that have served on our commissions and that we're pleased that you've done that for us. And so I have a little something for you. Harold Halden, 2001 to 2005, in recognition of your outstanding service and accomplishments for the betterment of the City of Pismo Beach as Planning Commissioner, the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach presents this on the 15th day of February 2005. Thank you so much for your service.
Thank you, Mary Ann, and council members, and also staff members that I had the opportunity to work with. It isn't very often that a person is able to serve a city as a city engineer, as a city councilman, and as a planning commissioner. So I'm very pleased and very appreciative. And I would definitely like to wish this council and the city staff and its commissions all the success in the world in the next 2 years. And I have a little trivia, too, that I'd like to reflect to, especially to Mary Ann, and to indicate how she has been in the business of city employment for a long, long time. 10 years ago, I strongly recommended that Mary Ann Reese be appointed to the Parks and Recreation Commission. And I did that because I knew that she had worked with a number of people that I knew in the city of Upland, starting with the city manager, Pinky Alder, Dee Carpenter, who I had a different name for. She was a great gal, still is as far as I know. Don Maroney, city attorney, Coy Estes, the police chief, and Fred Nelson in the fire department, and of course many planning commissioners, members, staff members of the planning department, engineering, and building department. So this tonight is really enjoyable because I could bring that little bit of trivia to you, and again, I'd like to wish everyone all the success in the world the next 2 years. Thank you again.
Thank you. This is for Sam Ebid, 2004-2005, in recognition of your outstanding service and accomplishments for the betterment of the City of Pismo Beach as Conference and Visitors Bureau member. The City Council of the City of Pismo Beach presents this on the 15th day of February 2005. Sam, thank you for your contributions. They were well received. You did a lot for us, and I wish you all the luck in the world in your new position.
Yeah. I just want to thank you all for the opportunity you have given me to serve on the CVB board. And it was definitely a unique learning experience. I enjoyed it tremendously. And I just want to let you all know, if there is an opportunity for me to help in any way, to please call on me. I'm always available for this beautiful city of Pismo, which I enjoyed for the past 9 years. All the very best to all of you, and much success.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sam.
Bill Couch, 1993 to 2005. It's a long time, Bill.
Long time.
In recognition of your outstanding service and accomplishments for the betterment of the city of Pismo Beach, as Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commissioner, the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach presents you this on the 15th day of February 2005. You have given us a lot of your life, and we appreciate it. You have worked so hard. And I don't know how to say thank you enough, but I want your lovely wife to join us for a minute. The City Council has a little something to present to you for being so behind him all this time and working alongside him. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And building our park systems where I think it's the finest for any city this size in the country. And we hope to continue this and to go on to greater things. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill.
Next item on the agenda is a public comment period. This is the time that you can speak on any items that are not on the agenda or speak to the consent agenda. And you have 3 minutes to do so. And I have a few cards here. If you haven't turned one in and you wish to speak, that would be helpful if you would. Scott Smith.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, Council members. I thought this might be a good time to bring up, since we have television coverage, that we have a Citizens Academy coming up at the Pismo Beach Police Department on March 8th. And I know, Mayor, you've been through it. We've had other members of city staff be through it. And it's a good opportunity for the public to get to know what goes on in law enforcement. It's also a good opportunity to for members of the community to get to know the members of law enforcement. And I think everybody has a lot of fun. They learn a lot. It's an 11-week program. And if they want to continue on after attending the Citizens Academy, they can become one of our citizen volunteers on patrol, which greatly assists the police department and the community. So I figured I'd get that out now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I would encourage people of the community to participate in that. It's very, very informative. Is there a phone number where someone could call? And
773-2208.
Not 911.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scott. John Stocksdale?
Good evening, Madam Mayor and City Council. Two comments tonight, two particular issues, but they're both interrelated. In the past, I've come before you and talked about the possibility of videotaping the different commission meetings. I had a chance to talk about it when you had your retreat. I was very delighted today when I got here and saw at the 2 o'clock meeting that it was being videotaped. And I do hope those in the audience on television get a chance to go listen to and watch that particular program that happened earlier today. I think it was very beneficial. The specifics, I saw in the newspaper several weeks ago that AGP Video was going to be doing what I had asked for in the past, and that was video streaming at their slowspan.org site. I got a chance to try that out. I was very impressed with the meetings that I got a chance to listen to. Unfortunately, we were not one of them, but I did get to see several other meetings that were video streamed. I think it would be very beneficial to us. It'd be very beneficial to the people in the community to use that video streaming. If they don't have a computer, there's other methods that AGB could possibly provide for them. I mentioned that in the past. The CDs, we talked about a CD at an earlier meeting being available that people could use. We're moving into the budget session. Now is the time that I think we need to talk about, are we going to have this contract with either AGP or another organization to do the video streaming or to do the videotaping, provide the CDs available so the public can be able to watch all of these very important meetings. The very last thing has to do with this also. Whichever we decide, whichever way we decide, I would like to see you put some kind of advertisement on each of our agendas, where they can go and watch the video streaming, where they can watch these meetings, because some people don't get a chance to go look. Some people don't look at the newspaper. So it would be nice to have on there the website they can go look at, the times they can look at if it's going to be broadcast, if it's going to be video streaming, where they can go to do the video streaming. That's my comments for the evening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Tim Bittner?
No, you just got a big dog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's an appropriate comment. This is actually a pound, you know, a Humane Society dog. If people think you can't get a good dog at the Humane Society, you know, this is pretty much a purebred bomb, so.
Wow.
I watched on Sunday morning, I watched the last council meeting, and first I'd like to commend you. It's a pinhole in our city budget when you compare it to the other things that we have to worry about and whatever, but my only comment is a sieve is just a bunch of pinholes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the public that would like to speak on an item that's not on the agenda?
My name is Paul Jones, 941 Schaefer Lane. I walk all over Pismo Beach 5 days a week. I go down past the Pismo Plaza at the end of Pomeroy, down by the ocean. And just recently, I noticed 9 beautiful steel benches with brown enamel on them, just beautiful, each of them gathered around palm trees. But the thing I noticed most of all, almost without exception, every day people are sitting on those benches viewing the ocean and other scenic attractions. And I just want to say thanks for this job being completed. It adds a lot to our city. Thank
Randy
you.
Randy
Bloom. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that would like to speak regarding an item not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, the next item on our agenda is City Council comments. Who would like to start? Rudy?
Yeah, I'll go ahead. February 5th was Western Monarch Butterfly Day, which was passed by one of the last things that Senator McPherson accomplished while he was senator. And I had the honor of working with Sheila Boone in getting that thing accomplished. So I did go up there with her to accept the resolution, which was passed 100% by the Senate and the members of the legislature, or the rest of the legislature. And we went up to, on February 5th, I went down to our butterfly orchard, and we went down there for photographs, and I questioned the docents as to why they didn't have any signs there. They knew that February 5th was Western Monarch Butterfly Day. There were a lot of people there, and nobody knew that it was a holiday, a newly created holiday by the senator. And I asked the docents why they did not mention it to those people when they came in. They said, well, why didn't the city of Pismo Beach do that? Why didn't the city put up our big butterfly sign across the street? They have a butterfly sign. They never put it up. And I said, wait a minute. This is a state beach. You people are running it. So I'm looking to trying to take that responsibility away from the state and move it to Pismo Beach responsibility. I think between the city of Pismo Beach and Grover Beach working together jointly, since we have a common area, I think that we should be able to run that thing properly. It's not being run properly, and I'm really upset about that. And as you all probably read, our Mr. McPherson just became our Secretary of State, and I was privy to that when he gave me that award. When I came back, I asked him, before I came back, I said, what are you going to be doing now that you're retired out of the Senate? He said, I've got a spot in mind. I said, you can't reveal that to me? He said, no, not officially, but when we go outside, I can tell you. So I knew that this was the position he was waiting for, and he got it. I'm real happy for him.
We have friends in high places, Rudy.
Okay. Is that it? Okay.
Yep.
Shelley?
I have no comments this evening.
Bill?
Yeah, just briefly, I resent anybody getting up to the microphone and having an assumption that they know what my life is all about, and I think that was in very, very poor taste, Mr. Bittner. But I can tell you, though, however, that had I not deemed it necessary, I certainly wouldn't have wanted any part of it. You get them. You get them. So I'll just leave that at that. Very poor taste, Mr. Bittner. The second thing that I'd like to do is I'd like to ask the City Council if we could get staff to do a report on paid parking for this upcoming season for the parking area. We are currently losing over $100,000 a year in generated income from parking, and I think it's about time we did something.
So what did you want to do? You want to
I want to add it as an agenda item. I would rather do it with council's support so there could be some research done with it. If the council won't support me on it, then I'll ask it to be put on myself, and I will do the research. So. Okay, we have a unanimous, we got three, certainly.
Are we supporting that?
That isn't what I want to do. I mean, I think that we need to move forward, and, you know, we keep putting things off for years. We don't put things off for days anymore. We put them off for years. I would like to ask my fellow council people to, in fact, support Schlumberger or a company like Schlumberger. There may be others out there that make it. I don't know. I just know that in beach communities that I've spoken with, parking meters have not worked. People plug them up. People put wax in them. It's a tremendous amount of money to go around and collect all the monies out of the meters. These things take credit cards. They take cash. You only got like four machines around town to deal with.
Would you want them to come and give us a presentation when that's on the agenda? Would that be helpful?
That would be very helpful.
Okay, we could do that. Okay.
Thank
you.
Okay, thank you, Madam Mayor. That's all I have.
No
thank
cost
you.
To us.
Thank you.
Arlene.
Well, I, you know, that beautiful invocation this afternoon reminded me that we were going to agendize for council discussion having a city chaplain. And I know that Mr. Rice probably told us a date, but I don't recall. Do you? When were we going to agendize
that? It's on that matrix that I send to the council. It's on there for next council meeting.
Next council meeting. Okay. Okay. And then also, I just learned this, so I'm guessing that some people do know this. However, there are probably people just like me that don't know it. I did not know that SCAT has a bus that will pick you up in Pismo Beach, take you to San Luis and to Hearst Castle and back home for $4. So if anyone that wants to go to Hearst Castle doesn't want to drive, this is a great way to go. So I'm excited about that. So and that's all I have, Madam Mayor.
Okay. Thank you. I don't really have anything this evening. I was just going to mention the benches, but you did, and so thank you very much for that. And So we'll go on to the next item on our agenda, and that is consent agenda. Is there anything that the council wants to pull?
I have
okay.
nothing.
With that, I'll entertain a motion.
I move for approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez G.
Yes.
Councilmember Natoli.
Yes.
Councilmember Ravenault.
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham.
Yes.
Mayor Reese.
Yes.
Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Okay, we have no public hearings this evening, and our first business item is an ordinance on the adult-oriented businesses. Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, tonight we're considering again the adult business ordinance that we've come before Council before twice, once for an urgency ordinance, and then I think last time was about a month ago. What I'd like to do is ask Randy Bloom to give us a very concise, brief synopsis of where we stand right now in this adult business ordinance and where what we'd like you to do tonight.
Thank you. Oh, good, it's on. Tonight, there's a two-part section on the adult business ordinance. The first ordinance relates to strictly zoning and location of where an adult business can be located. And the second part, the second ordinance, is those regulatory provisions of how those businesses operated. So I'll briefly go through the first part, which is a location, which had some discussion at last council meeting. Basically, the zoning ordinance amendment that's relating to this identifies that adult businesses can be located in a general commercial C2 zone with limitations. And the location requirements are that all adult businesses shall be located no closer than 500 feet of any property in a residentially zoned district, a child care facility, school attended by minor children, a park and playgrounds, religious places of worship, public buildings or other public facilities likely to be used by minors existing as of the day of the adoption of this ordinance, and 1,000 feet from any other adult business establishment. The ordinance provides for an exception, and the exception is adult businesses may be located within a shopping center even when the business site does not meet the distance requirement in the above paragraph. And what that's saying is, basically, is a city cannot completely eliminate the opportunity for a business to locate in its community. And so what staff and the city attorney has presented, the exception, and the, if we could turn on the overhead zoning ordinance. So right now today, it wouldn't qualify. When the adoption of the 98 zoning ordinance comes into effect, that piece of property would be designated as general commercial and then would fall into the category of availability of a site. Now, one of the key things is on this exemption is it's the reliance on the business management company that runs the centers to make a business decision that is if it's good for business, or do they look at the secondary effects of an adult business in a shopping center. And that's basically the crux of it. The first ordinance is the zoning location and how that works and where you can locate. And the second ordinance is the management regulation of it. I always relate it to the first is planning and the second is police in relationship to that ordinance. That's kind of a brief overview, kind of focusing down where it's at. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
May the council
have I had a question. So there's four locations at one end of town, and then there's one location at another end of town.
That's correct.
So you're saying when the 1998 specific plan,
the zoning ordinance
comes into play, then that would include that.
It would also include Shell Beach Road, and should someone buy up enough property to assemble a shopping center, it could have a location.
Okay,
but
so we're talking about
right now.
Okay, so we're talking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like six locations. In a community the size of ours, less than 9,000 people, we need to provide that many locations?
I think if you look at the locations, and let me walk through them, and there's some other factors. You have to have available sites. Mm-hmm. But the sites we have, is DePaulo's isn't readily available. Mm-hmm. It will be sometime in the future. The Shaw Medical Center, as staff-wise, it's available, except it's questionable because there's a shared parking agreement with the adjacent church. Mm-hmm. So that creates an encumbrance.
Right. Okay.
It's more of a private civil encumbrance, but it's recognizable. So that leaves what I call the Orchard Supply Shop instead of the Sklari and the Outlet Center as today immediately available in practical terms.
Okay.
And so
So I
can't tell you what's because I don't know if there's enough court cases that what's too few and what's too many.
Uh-huh.
I can't really give you a good
answer. And I understand that, and I have it highlighted. You know, it's constitutional right, and we can't ban that, and I understand that. But in a community as small as ours, historically, what do other cities have? Do they provide that many spots, especially like the outlets where there's teenagers around all the time? Here I am again.
That's okay, and that's why I'm here too. I'll try and break it down into two questions. One is the number of locations, and the other is what they're near to. And the number of locations, unfortunately, there simply is no magic number. There is not a court case that says if you provide an ordinance that gives a specific number of locations available, it will pass the constitutional test. What happens is at some point in time in the future, a business may want to locate, or more than one business may want to locate in Atascadero in Pismo that meets the definition of an adult business. And the court would then analyze how many spaces are available at that time, depending upon how many businesses are trying to locate. And so the rules are like an amoeba. They change on cities all the time. And it's not like other police power situations where you can go find an ordinance someplace else that defines something in a particular way and know that it's going to pass muster, because it's all dependent on what might happen in the future that's not in the control of the city, not in control of the staff, and in fact not in control of somebody who might be wanting to locate a business. They might not want competitors, but the fact that competitors might want to come in is going to affect how the locational rules are interpreted. So there is no magic number that we can give you. That makes it problematic. Certainly, in one sense, you want to protect the community as much as possible. But what I have recommended to the staff as they develop the location restrictions here is that we attack that simply from a zoning perspective and let the chips fall where they may because of how the zoning falls, so that it's not driven by any evaluation of the type of business. It's driven by the impacts that those businesses have. And the reason we pick shopping centers as a method of creating this exemption from the distance requirements is, number one, in a community like this where you're going to have a small number of locations available, that's a very high risk that you're going to let us analyze locational restrictions in that fashion. As an example, one of the reasons that I recommend that in a restrictional ordinance you place a time date on the location of the schools, the churches, and other types of uses that we tend to consider as sensitive uses is the law will not allow us to prefer, in a sense, in the future, one use over another. So we can't give a veto power to a private school organization, because people can create their own schools that might have nothing to do with a religious affiliation, and they may just, a Montessori school. And we can't give a veto power of a Montessori school to say, boy, an adult business has purchased a piece of property, and it's legal now, but if I just move my school within 500 feet of that location, it now becomes illegal. Communities have tried that, and those ordinances have gone down the wayside. So it's not an easy topic, and we just have to stick with the fact that there is no magic number. You just have to make your best decision based upon understanding that we have to provide a framework that protects us in the future as well as today.
Well, I am willing to accept your recommendation, of course. However, if there's no magic number, why couldn't we go with less than more? And in the future, if we needed more, then deal with that at that time.
Well, the problem becomes is if the number you pick is too few, then in effect you have no regulation whatsoever. Because it's not constitutionally defensible, and the business can locate wherever it wants. And then you run into the problem that another community has dealt with, and that is that the period of time, yes, then you can address it, and if that's not a location where you want adult businesses to locate, you can change your locational rules as long as you provide enough alternative spaces. But you have to then allow what is a reasonable period of time for that business to recoup enough money to afford to get back its investment. And that's all very fact-specific. In fact, one case where a city won, the adult business was a very cheap on-the-fly business that just rented, had very little equipment and little shelving and some stock. And so a very short period of time of 2 years was held to be, that was legal under those circumstances, but it was based upon the actual investment of the business involved. Other more lengthy time periods, because of the actual investment in a physical plant, have lost. So that's why it's not one of those ordinances where we can say, well, this city in the Central Valley of California had 2 years and that withstood a legal challenge, so why don't we just pick 2 years? In fact, here we picked a very short period of time for our amortization, but that's because at this point we're not aware that there are any established businesses that would meet our definition of adult business. So we picked a short one, but I wouldn't recommend that to another community that had established legal businesses.
So then if we had a little amount of places that they could locate, then you're saying that if they took us to court, then they could put it anywhere they wanted. Then it'd be too little too late.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Is there any other questions from the council?
Well, not really a question, just kind of a clarification, I guess, is what I'm saying. I think that the general public could generally say that these types of businesses are not wanted within a community. I think that's very safe to say. But what I'm hearing you say now is that under the First Amendment right, there has to be made space available. But what you're saying is that you are now relying upon the landowner to now police that for the city,
not the location. And you've got to remember, we're establishing an exemption from the distance requirements. There could very well in the future be places that became legal simply because they met the distance requirements, a particular little lot in one spot, mm-hmm. because uses will change over time. And any lot that's in the general commercial zone that meets the distance requirement is going to be legal for a one parcel business.
Okay.
What I've suggested is the exemption to the distance requirement, so that we know there's always a reasonable number of spaces available on the market, is the shopping center exemption to the distance requirement. And there is no wink and nod, I mean literally no wink and nod between staff and potential owners of the shopping centers about not letting adult businesses in. The idea is that they don't protect themselves by not letting the businesses in. They protect themselves by regulating the business so that it doesn't cause impacts on its neighbors. They're going to regulate the hours. If one of their tenants is businesses being conducted in such a way...
That was their choice?
That was their choice, yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing to do with the city, just the owners, they could if that was their choice.
Just like it's been ruled that landlords of apartment complexes can have rules on whether or not couples that are of the opposite sex can share it if they're not married.
Okay.
It's not something the city would be able to do, but landlords can do that. Now, landlords are going to change. So from the city's perspective, I mean, even if we had a thought that a current landlord wouldn't rent to a particular type of tenant, they're not going to own it forever. So, I mean, it's really, once you establish the exemption, it's going to be available, and markets change, too.
Thank you very much.
Okay, is there any comments? No. Any other comments
No.
or questions? With that, I'll open it up to the public. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak to this item?
Please step up and give us your name and address.
Steve Diamond. I'd like to ask Mr. Hanley, the distance requirements, does that go from property line to property line? Or are you waiving that?
Go ahead and answer.
As written, it would be property line to property line.
So you're down to two locations now, or less.
Mr. Hanley, can you answer that?
Any shopping center would be exempt from the distance requirements.
That's correct.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you. I hope you adopt it.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council, and actually the recommendation here is to move for first reading of this portion of the ordinance.
Yes, and Madam Mayor, there was a substituted text. There was a one or two word changes, so we printed out another copy of the ordinance for you, which is different than the one in the packet. Specifically, we removed the word urgency because it was not an urgency ordinance. This is a regular ordinance, and if it's adopted on second reading, we'll go into effect 30 days after the second reading. So those are the changes that we made to it.
And, okay, so it's not an urgency ordinance, and we're waiving the first reading, and we'll adopt it. By title only. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion to adopt this for first reading, you said?
No, it's actually a second reading. Second. We're waiving the first
reading.
Waive
it. Okay.
No, what we would do is we'd waive first reading by title only and introduce both of the ordinances tonight. Okay. Then they would both come back a second time for adoption.
Okay, so it is first reading. Yeah. Sorry. Okay.
And there are two ordinances. There's one for the zoning and one for the police.
Right, so I'm taking them separately. I thought that's what you wanted us to do. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I have a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Madam Clerk?
Councilmember Natoli?
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Yes.
Councilmember Rabinault?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G?
No.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Passes 4-1. Thank you.
Okay. The next item is the second portion of this, and am I going to refer this to the planning director or Mr. Hanley?
I don't think we've gone over the operational restrictions several times, including the workshop, so unless you had any questions, I wouldn't have any further report.
Okay. Is there any questions by the council or comments?
Ready to move.
I have one.
Okay.
On page 77, I hope this isn't petty, or page 22, I don't know, the dark number, highlighted page 22, the bottom of page says 77, item number 6, and it just states the name or names of the person or persons who have the management of supervision responsibilities of the applicant's business and of any entertainment, right? So what basically you're going to have to write that down and report, correct?
That's correct.
But is there... There's nothing written in that if that changes, there's no time allowable within 30 days if you have a change or 15 days.
Well, they're supposed to keep it current as far as the operational restrictions go. These restrictions are more normally intended to apply places with live entertainment, which as far as we know, we don't have.
Okay.
And then also, we don't have to worry about amortization for police power. So if we find a little blip that we want to fix later, it will be, instead of like the locational restrictions, which are a huge problem to change, if we find a change in the law or something we want to fix for how it works here, we can do that very easily and normally, and you won't even see me down here to do that.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. And any other comments or questions?
One question. On page 8, which is 63, on your parking, off-street parking shall be provided for adult entertainment business. Even if it's in a shopping center, that's all considered off-street parking, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. If there's no other questions, I'll bring this to the public. This is a separate ordinance which outlines the regulations that apply to an all sign. Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, this is a sign in addition to the sign that blew down about 8 months ago. By the way, that sign that used to be out here in front that blew down, big tall one, will be up by the middle of March. Mm-hmm. this is an addition to try and help people out who, you know, we're constantly asked, I'm sure you've been asked too, where is City Hall? So I'd like to ask Dennis Delzite to give us a short briefing of where the sign is going to be in your packet. There's a little diagram of what the sign would look like. And Dennis?
I put the sign up on the display so the audience and the council can see it. It's proposed by Tom Redding, who has made some very attractive signs for the city in the past. The letters will be blue, and the logo that I think is one of the most attractive anywhere will be full-color logo of the city. What we're recommending, it'll be at the peak. We have two peaks here on our building. It will be on the peak that is more visible, which is the one over on this side of the building. So staff is recommending the City Council's approval, and this would require the adoption of a resolution appropriating the funds.
Thank you. Is there any questions or comments from the council?
Yeah, a couple of them, if I may. What I'm thinking, just if it's down at that end, that people would be more apt to go into CVB and billing and all that kind of stuff. If it was on this end, they'd be more likely to come into the front door of City Hall, but that's neither here nor there. When you talk about the full-color logo, are you talking about one with the pier and the clam and all that stuff, or are you talking about this one?
It's this one here behind us.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's all I have, Madam Mayor.
Any other comments or questions? Seeing none.
Could that sign be removed and moved to another location if we need in the future?
Yes, it could.
Okay.
Okay, is there anyone in the public who would like to speak to this item? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back to the City Council, and I'll entertain a motion if there's no more discussion.
I'll make the motion.
That
we adopt a resolution and award the contract for construction of a new City Hall sign to Tom Redding in the amount of $2,043.38.
Okay, is there a second?
I second it.
With the caveat that out of that money is also the repair of the other sign. That's what I read in the staff report.
No, that's not correct. No.
No, that sign is already funded, and it'll be installed in mid-March.
Okay. Okay. I check my statement.
Okay. Madam Clerk?
Okay. Councilmember Natoli?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez G?
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Yes.
Councilmember Rabinald?
Yes.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Okay, that takes care of the business items, and that brings us to City Manager's Report.
Madam Mayor and Council, I just have one thing tonight. And a while back, you had asked staff to put into the work program for this fiscal year a volunteer recognition dinner, which I believe the last one was held here in the city about 4 years ago. So we're about 1 month out from this dinner. There's actually been a lot of staff work that's been going on over the last 3 weeks on this, and honchoed by Lori Grigsby, who's done a great job on that. And anyway, the dinner will be Friday, March 11th at 6 p.m. at the Bellow Street Vets Hall. And if you're and invitations will go out next week to all of our various volunteers throughout the community here. But if for some reason you are a volunteer and we miss your name, give us about a week to get the invitations to you. But if we miss your name, please call us at 773-7004 so we can get you an invitation. And again, that's a volunteer recognition dinner on Friday, March 11th at 6 p.m. at the Bellow Street Vets Hall. Thank you.
Okay. That's it?
That's it.
Thank
There's
you.
No charge, is there?
Sir, there is no charge.
Okay.
City Attorney Report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have nothing.
Wow. Okay, we're down to council subcommittee reports. Does anyone have anything to report from their subcommittees?
I do not, Madam Mayor.
I have nothing.
Yes, we had a Zone 3 Water Board meeting. It was a very, very productive meeting. I was elected chairman of the board at that meeting. And what we are looking specifically at right now is our HCP, which is our Habitat Conservation Plan. And we are looking for NOAA, which is the National Aeronautical... No, Oceanic... Atmospheric Administration to recognize the $750,000 that we have placed collectively into the development of this HCP. Many of you will remember that during this last storm, we received quite a bit of rain in a very short period of time. Yet, we were still required to release $4 million.
Talked about just trying to expand rail service as much as possible, and kind of made an additional pact among the representatives there to try to expand it as much as they could, and up to the San Francisco area if possible. That's it. Okay, with that, we have no poll consent items. Meeting's adjourned.